This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. Very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I got it.
For now, anyway.
Heck, twice. I want some butt.
Mike Parenti.
It's your attitude. The enemy's dangerous. But right now, you're worse than the enemy. You're dangerous and foolish. You may not like the guys flying with you. They may not like you. But whose side are you on?
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
He is 100% prime time in love with you.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday after another big win by the New England Patriots. That's two in a row.
Woo-ee!
If anyone's counting.
You are.
Who are they playing again? Oh, the Rams. That's right.
That's how impressive that win was.
It was a big win. 23-16.
And they're in St. Louis now, too.
Yes, yes. No longer in L.A. I think an impressive win for Matt Castle. Impressive win for the front seven. Still have some work to do in that backfield for the New England Patriots defense. But we're working on it. We're working on it.
Better keep working.
And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the game coming up. It's a big week here. Got the Indianapolis Colts coming up, Sunday night game. They just got beat by the Titans. So yet another desperate team at home that the Patriots need to contend with coming up Sunday night. But we're all here. The gang's all here except Eric. Where's Eric?
Who knows?
This is his normal day off, isn't
this
it?
This is his normal day off?
Right.
Tuesday.
Is anything normal with him?
Nope.
No. I thought you knew the schedule.
Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Hey, is that Andy here? Or something?
Mike's here. Paul's here. Gary's in the booth. Dan's in the booth. And
world-famous guest
from across the pond, James, the James that created PFWinProgress.com.
Where's
James,
he from, Fred?
He's from England.
Oh, I know. I knew he couldn't do it.
So, James, how you doing?
Good, thanks, Fred. How are you?
So, what do you think so far? Is this your first time in the States?
It's not the first time in the States, but it's the first time in New England.
Uh-huh.
And the first time to an NFL game and obviously a Patriots game.
So you were at the Rams game. Give us your thoughts.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's like so overwhelming coming over the hill, seeing the stadium you've seen on TV and in pictures over the years, and then getting into the stadium.
Yeah.
You know, so overwhelming.
Now, where were you sitting?
You're sitting behind the end zone.
Oh, that's right, because people could see your banner on TV, they say?
Yeah, we had a couple of flags, UK Patriots flags in the end zone. Yeah.
That's flags. Right. Not Eric and a couple friends.
Oh. Yeah, what we,
that's a fan favorite right there. Yeah.
You had a whole group, though. How many people were?
I think
the UK?
21. The UK Patriots, like, we're a fan club, so we get allocation each year.
And they're all actually from the UK?
Yeah, well, yeah.
21 people came across to see the Patriots.
A few guys from America who were helping us out with things.
Now, did you all, like, do this together? Like, get a travel agent, get it all together, or were you on your own until you got here?
Yeah, just on our own.
Yeah.
I came over with my girlfriend, Kelly.
Yeah.
And we just come in Saturday night because we had to go to a wedding party and
right.
We're a bit tired
okay.
on the Sunday. But
and so you did the game. You tailgated because I know Mike Parenti was with you. And we'll have that picture in PFW this week.
I missed the tailgate, unfortunately, though.
Yeah, we were.
The guys were parked way out in Guam.
Guam.
We were supposed to tailgate in P2, but we turned up and it wasn't open. So
yeah,
miles away.
Yeah, they
is,
stuck them in P11.
Well, that's where the tailgating is for the most part this year.
I really wanted a burger.
Yeah,
because the breakfast spread sucked.
Wish I had a burger.
So you enjoyed the game, and then after the game, did you do anything Sunday night and yesterday?
Well, the tailgating before was amazing because it's such an alien concept back home, so that was quite cool.
They don't tailgate at soccer games?
Basically, like if it was a kickoff of 3 o'clock when I go and see my team,
right?
Cardiff City, we'd go to the pub at 2 o'clock,
yeah.
maybe a little bit earlier, have a few drinks, and then go to the game, go to the pub afterwards. So
right.
to go and stand in a car park eating
right.
the like meatballs.
They get all their weapons ready before they.
Oh, that's right. All the hooligans.
Yeah.
Right. So, so you had an amazing tailgate. You enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Just the atmosphere. It is an amazing atmosphere. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. After the game, what did you do?
I went back to the parking lot and just had a few beers, threw a few footballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And then went back to the hotel and just chilled out for a bit and then just watched the baseball in the bar.
Right. And then yesterday, anything?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend went to meet a friend of ours from New Zealand who's traveling around North America and went into Boston and went to Harvard.
Oh, nice.
Checked out there.
Cool.
Yeah. So how'd you end up Harvard with Square? That sweatshirt then?
Well,
he's wearing a BC Eagle sweatshirt.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a little bit more. a little bit. If I turned back at home with a Harvard sweatshirt, they wouldn't really believe me. So I thought.
Oh, okay.
BC would be better. And I thought I'd wind up Paul as well today.
Right. Okay. And wearing a BU one would be beneath you. So you settled on BC.
I certainly would agree with that.
Yeah.
I bought a UMass one. I don't know much about them, but it was like $2 for $40. So I thought I might as well get one.
Well, yeah.
No Northeastern ones, huh?
Comes with a six pack.
That's a surprise.
So that's cool. So today,
they're all sold out.
Today you're here for the show, and then afterwards you're going to go check out the hall.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. Yeah, we did manage to check it out beforehand. Yeah.
And maybe a little lunch at CBS Scene, perhaps.
Maybe some Godiva chocolates afterwards.
They brought donuts, though. Huh?
Bass Pro, have you checked that out yet?
No, we might.
Oh, you got to check that out.
I have a photo out there just for posterity.
That's a lot of fun.
You should see that, because I'm guessing there aren't too many of those in England and in the UK, and that's different.
So James, tell us. How were you with the UK Patriots club when it started?
No, I've only, to be honest, I haven't been an American football fan for like a great deal of time, like most of the others.
Yeah.
I sort of got into it in the 80s. It was quite hard to sort of not be a fan in the 80s.
Right.
In the UK, it was always on TV and stuff. And I've always been a fan of like American sports in general. I played ice hockey back home.
Yeah.
Then when I was out in Connecticut, in 2001 for New Year in January, like making a film out there.
Yeah.
It was obviously the Patriots, a little engine that could.
Sure.
We're on the road, like to the Super Bowl. So
right.
I sort of had a little inkling about that.
That's kind of when you got hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what made you decide, hey, I'm going to do a website for this stupid radio show?
It's just been like, it's like some people, like, I've learned like the rules of the game on Madden, and I've like learned the sort of talking about the game from this show. And it's like something I wanted from the show. It was like to
sorry
see the website
about that.
And
sorry about all those fights you've been in. If you listen to this show too much,
yeah, I probably don't know too much about it. But just thought a separate website is something that I would want to see and maybe make a bit of money. You never know.
Cool.
Hopefully.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, when's our boy Joe Calzaghe fighting again?
Well, he just had the press day last week, I think. So
it
should be quite soon.
So celebrity from the
Wales.
Hire anyone who actually cares about this team. He cares about boxing. The guy who placed him was a Cowboys fan. Sorry, we're not all homers.
Well, welcome.
We're
glad you're here. You're doing a great job on the website.
Oh, thank you.
And, great job. We just want to remind people that the T-shirts are still available on pfwinprogress.com. A portion of the proceeds go to help James and his efforts over there.
Plus, it's just a great website.
Yeah.
It looks good. It's easy
tremendous.
To use. The listener map thing is cool. It's all very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well
done.
There's
a few T-shirts made their way to Wembley for the Saints-Chargers game on Sunday. So
oh, yeah?
There'll be a few pictures going up there.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
I think that's interesting, too. Like, all the Patriots fans were here while the NFL was there.
That's what people were saying. They were like, when we were at the stadium, they were going, you know there's a game in the UK today, don't
right.
you? And we go, yeah, but it's not the Patriots. It's different. Like,
nice. Keep it up. That's what we want to hear. Because it's really Patriots first, then NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course. they are bigger than the NFL,
rule,
according to Fred.
That's correct. We are the NFL. You know, just
the
like,
Patriots invented the NFL.
It's
true.
Well, we did. We brought it into the 21st century, certainly.
Right.
Certainly. All right, Paul, what do you got to say?
Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
Well, we have to talk about that.
Do we have any sound bites for that yet?
Yeah.
I'm efforting that.
Okay.
We have to talk about that.
Can't do it.
In addition to the obvious of the Patriots, I would like to touch on Mike Singletary taking over and his first post-game thing turns into a tirade, which I'm not sure. I mean, I like his philosophy.
I like his message. I'm not sure that was the right thing for him to do.
I agree with what he's
hit the ground running.
I agree with what he's doing, but he's not long for this league if he you know, handles everything that way.
Well, the best thing he's doing is benching JT O'Sullivan, who has been awful the last three or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, Sean Hill's no prize either, but Sullivan's not getting it done.
You can,
guy's a lifetime practice.
You can really
player.
See with that team, and Fred, I know that you were kind of high on San Francisco a little
I
bit.
I was.
And I think that I don't think you were way off. I think that's a decent team. But you really see what happens when you draft that guy to be your guy and he fails.
Right.
Yeah. And Alex Smith has failed. And that, you know, no matter how good the team is, it's hard to sort of develop into a winner without at least
and
some
level of
Vernon
consistency.
Davis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's two top five picks that were busts.
The quarterback
set
you back three or four years.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really hit on some of their other ones. They have the running back. They have the linebacker, obviously, and Willis. They need to build around those guys now, not just on the field. But, you know, I heard somebody saying that Singletary can go on a rant all he wants, but unless he gets player support for it, it won't work. He needs to make sure that guys like Frank Gore and Patrick Willis are on board with his program.
So you've seen Vernon Davis took it pretty well. I mean,
he's an idiot.
He kind of explained, you know, they asked him about what happened. He said, you know, I did what he told me. I mean, he told me to go, and I went. He's the coach. I have a lot of respect for him. He may not believe a word of it, but he said it.
He said the right things after the game. I agree.
It's kind of like when Fred kicked me off the show.
They need to just
draft. I walked out of the room. He told me to leave.
They just need to draft a quarterback. No more Jim Druckenmillers and Alex Smiths. Get a good quality quarterback, which they haven't had
since talk about that, but first,
Matt Castle.
Yeah, first
he's
up.
He's available.
First up is the Patriots and Matt Castle. Guys, what do you think? Is this has Matt Castle arrived, or is this just yet another step, and there's still a long way to go?
But
this
he's arriving. He's definitely moving in the right direction.
He seems to be getting better every game. Isn't that all you can ask for?
Yeah, I guess
And he's certainly not. We just talked about JT O'Sullivan, who flashed a little early in the year, and everybody was talking about he finally got his chance, and he's this great quarterback. It's been overlooked. Castle has just sort of been, and I don't want to make the comparison too often, but Brady-like, in that Brady wasn't great in 2001. He just kind of plodded along, did some decent things, you know, had a couple bumps in the road, but a slow kind of gradual. Bill always talks about, is it a step-like process or is it a slow? This is a slow, gradual one. I think it's been better every week.
And, you know, you have to say that it hadn't, you know, a couple guys caught passes that were catchable balls, like Welker and Moss, who are usually very reliable. We might have been talking about a 300-yard, you know, 100-plus rating game.
Well, he probably
better
would have had two picks.
He wouldn't have had the two picks. One pick definitely was
maybe one.
One
but
definitely,
luck.
But maybe Moss could have caught that ball too.
Yeah,
or
I
at
think
least
in
not
the end.
That's what we need to talk about, Paul. I was all worked up after. I'm down on Randy Moss, Fred.
You are.
I defended him, was that 3 weeks ago now? They had the catches where I thought they were good pass breakups by the defense.
Right.
Then last week I questioned him against Denver. I said, it's Champ Bailey, but at some point he needs to go up and make a play. Now this is another week where he fails to make a play.
Yeah,
he's
now
to be a
Bartlett
playmaker.
And Brown. It's not Champ Bailey anymore.
And I know he had 100 yards and he had the, you know, running across field, but I'm talking about a chance to make a play. He had a ball in his hands in the end zone, a perfectly thrown ball.
Oh, I know.
And he doesn't catch it. So not only is he not making plays now, he's dropping makeable plays.
I can guarantee you that that is not going unnoticed by the coaching staff.
3 weeks in a row now. This is definitely 3 weeks where he has failed to. He's supposed to be an elite playmaker down the field. He's supposed to go up and get the ball like some of the greatest of all times, and he hasn't done it.
And that was the only point that I was trying to make.
He used all his bullets last year.
Because Andy and I actually did. We had this argument on the TV show that week after the San Diego game. I do agree with Andy. They were pass breakups. But in my opinion, those pass breakups last year weren't enough to prevent him from catching the ball. There were plenty of guys that were in position to do what Quentin Jammer did in San Diego last year, and Moss didn't allow it to happen. For whatever reason, the last 3 weeks, he's allowed it to happen, culminating with this
flat-out drop
in the end zone on what I think may have been the best pass that I've seen Castle throw.
And this is a legitimate criticism. I'm not saying he's not trying or he's dogging it or – he just needs to make plays. This is almost a T.O.-like criticism. He's supposed to be a great receiver, come down with the ball. I think he's trying. I think he's running. I think he's doing.
I don't think it's an
effort. This is in no way old Moss immaturity or anything. I just think you're supposed to be great. Make the great play.
You know what, Andy, too? You always talk when a guy doesn't make a play. He says, well, the other guy gets paid, too. Well, so do you. And you get paid a lot of money, and every now and then you have to make the play over that other guy.
Right. And especially when the other guy – I mean, that's what I said last week. Champ Bailey, they both go up
for
the ball
in the
end zone. But you're supposed to be great. Great player. I mean, he's supposed to be one of the most talented physically players of all time. And 3 weeks in a row, I think he's had chances to make plays. And Castle needs people to make plays.
Why do you think that is?
I don't have a reason.
No.
I think
it could just be an off year for him.
Well, that's what I think. I think it's kind of just he made them all last year, and it's sort of the pendulum swinging back to
the
reality.
The bar is set way too high from last year.
Well,
first of all.
Remember in the offseason, people were like, you know, he'll probably have a step back. He'll probably have like 18 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Come on.
Which is still like
and I made
among
the
greatest of all time.
Probably only been about 2 or 3 years ever.
Right.
Right.
Of 18.
Right.
But
no.
Now he's just flat out not making any plays.
Do you think it's a mental thing where last year on every play, you know, he was ready for a pass from Tom Brady because he knew Tom Brady could deliver. And now he's just realizing, hopefully with the help of his coaches, that you got to be ready this year, too, because this kid can get it to you. He may not see you every play. I know there was one on Sunday where he was waving. The one Welker dropped, Moss felt that he was, you know, open deep. He was waving out there. But, look, this kid can get you the ball, too. So, mentally, you better be prepared on every play.
I just think it's kind of circumstantial. It's like when Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs. Yes, steroids were involved, obviously, but he was in the groove. That was his year. It was a special year. Everything he did, saw, was right.
He did steroids other years, didn't he?
Right, that's my point.
Exactly.
I think Moss last year was in a receiver's groove. You know, every time he went up, every time he played that little cat-and-mouse game and kept his hands down, it was the right decision. Every time he went up to split three Dolphins defenders, it was the right decision. Now it seems like every time he does something, it's a little out of whack, it's a little off, and it's just not his year. But still, not his year should be 10, 12
dropping
touchdowns.
Passes in the end zone, that doesn't matter if it's not his year or not. I mean, you should make those plays.
Kevin Falk makes you look bad by making a much tougher catch later.
However, I'm still glad we have him. I mean, let's face it.
He's still at 100 yards.
Yeah, he's got 7 for 102.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I mean
he's still pretty good.
But I'm just saying, they're 5-2. Castle's rolling along nicely.
I don't know why I threw him
out. If Randy Moss would make a couple plays, everything would be that much better.
No, and that was what I said at the top. You know, if Welker had caught that ball, he had a lot of green in front of him.
The sniper hadn't taken him out.
And if Moss had caught that ball, we might be talking about, you know.
But other things wouldn't have happened. If,
yeah.
You know, the Welker
negativity
one.
Negativity over
no,
there.
I'm
always
just saying.
Drag us down.
No,
yeah.
Doesn't believe
they
in
were,
the.
I wrote about both of those plays in detail in the game story.
I called
those
the
were
game
flat out, those were flat out drops. But the Kevin Falk touchdown might not happen if you got the Randy Moss touchdown. That's my point.
You do not believe in the fallacy of the predetermined outcome.
By the way, those Falk skills are still diminishing.
That followed the Moss drop. You can only get one touchdown per possession.
Yeah, by the way, you know, Andy's thing about Falk. That's really
I've been the one
up.
To bring it up. I'm not trying to hide it.
I know.
I was
the
a year early.
The diminishing skills.
Fred, the biggest thing about Castle to me, and I think the guys would agree, is just his pocket presence. And I think it's night and day from what we saw Sunday to what we probably saw in weeks 1 and 2.
Yep.
He's stepping
it's
up better.
Getting better.
He's knowing when to scramble, kind of like knowing when to get rid of it and when to tuck it and run. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, he kind of had to find a happy medium because he would either hold on to it too long or run too early.
Right.
No in between. And it seems like he's more close to that medium now where he seems to make a better decision.
The decisions were better, I thought. Running the ball even on Sunday. Now, he didn't have a ton of yards, but I thought he ran effectively.
He ran at the right time.
Sunday. He had one, was like a 2nd and 11. I think he ran for like 7 yards, set up a very makeable 3rd down. He had another that he scrambled for a 1st down on 3rd down. I just thought when he decided to tuck it and run.
And that's an aspect of his game.
Better.
If he makes the right decision, he's not Michael Vick, but he can use his athleticism as an advantage for this offense.
Absolutely.
That's something Brady couldn't bring. I
Remember
mean, he can legitimately make first downs for you if you need
plays.
To.
He had a reasonably long run for a touchdown last year in mop-up duty against Washington. I remember he can run the ball a little bit, no question.
Definitely the front seven had one of its best games. I'd say for Bruschi it was the 2nd best game of the year behind the Jets game. I think for Seymour it might be his best game.
Easily
of the year.
His best of the year.
You know, the fun is
Thomas.
Here's where I'm really on board with you about the pressure, Fred. I know you talked a lot about it at Denver, and I didn't necessarily see it. I thought Sunday.
Yeah.
Is it a coincidence that
they
had season highs for snaps across the board for guys like Thomas and
one
and
might say
Warren?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I play the role of Ron Borges and say, I told you?
Maybe Richard Seymour's thinking Reggie White showed up this week. You played me and I showed you I was Reggie White.
No more of these defensive rotations.
But do you also chalk Except that up to, you know, were they incentivized? You know, these guys like Seymour.
Was that a word?
Incentivized.
Where's Eric when we need him? I don't think that's a word.
I think when they make some plays early on, then it gives you more incentive to keep him in
the
game.
But
when it's not going right in the first quarter, now you start rotating.
What I'm getting at is, you know, they talked about rotating, it's keeping us fresh and all that stuff. But really, maybe our first instinct was right, is these coaches are just telling them, you're not playing well enough right now.
I think the line about being fresh is their way of just spinning it.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think you're right, Fred.
That gave them incentive I'll use it the word same word in a different way.
Properly. And an actual word this
I
time.
I think you're Reggie White.
Unless you go out there,
quote,
be,
gave them incentive.
Unless you go out well, there well, and well. Be the force that we know that you can be, you're not going to get the snaps. And I think now they're starting to play and, you know, starting to be disruptive like they're supposed to be.
I think the Reggie White line gives you all the incentive you need.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? There's no Reggie White
especially
there?
For
okay.
a sensitive guy like Seymour.
I wonder if it was intentional on Bill's part.
I probably. You know, I don't think it was.
Because he knew he was going to get out there.
The time that – what's it been, 9 years now? Can you guys even recall a time where he has been openly critical of one of his players in the media? Now, I'm sure in the meetings and stuff he's calling guys out and doing all – but I'm talking about to no. us.
It would have been players, really subtle.
So, like this. I think exactly. this was a subtle shot.
It was. Well, first of all, because you can't align it to any one player.
Exactly. Right. And you can't say, listen, Reggie White, you know, he's a Hall
right.
of Fame player.
And they could all think it applies
right.
to them.
No slam
is
there.
He talking about me? Is he talking
right.
about this guy? So they could all
right.
say it, and it works.
It hanging out
right.
there.
Yeah, which is so if all 11 guys believe
it's
it,
a
it
great
works.
Way to do it. If we had a guy as good as him, we'd play him. Well, that means you don't have a guy as good as him.
Now, that said, they need to do it again.
Right. Oh,
yeah. This is oh,
they,
1 week.
They need to keep it going.
Seymour,
yeah, they were good in San
Francisco.
Seymour
had a game like this against the Jets right. where he was making plays everywhere in the backfield, and then he disappeared for 3 weeks.
They need to
he
do it
do
every
that.
Week.
I think Adalys Thomas had a good game.
No question.
I think now we're starting to see what we thought we would see, where he's all over the field,
yep.
you know, being playing different roles, you know, being disruptive.
Pass rushing.
You know, I really
That's
think
I
that
when
it, whenever he lined up, on that outside, I think they really had to pay attention to him. And you saw them, you know, they're realigning their formation, really, you know, looking at it where Adalys Thomas was lining up.
And he's out there every play. So that Reggie White thing does not really apply to him. Because he has played
yeah.
every
oh, yeah.
snap
he's played
for
every,
about 6
either
games
inside
now.
Or out, yeah. he's always out there. Now, the one if we're going to go the other side of that is Mike Vrabel is still sort of – he was out there virtually every snap and mm-hmm. is not showing up like I would expect him to show up.
Okay.
And – the more they can get that, if they can get Vrabel doing that and Thomas and Seymour, now all of a sudden you're talking about what we talked about at the beginning of the year, a front seven type pass rush that can cover up for a secondary that obviously has plenty of issues.
Are we
needs
seeing
to be
that,
covered
Fred,
up.
You think? We were talking about this in our little meeting upstairs, Mike, Andy, and I. Do you see that front seven kind of covering up for the secondary? Have you seen that a little bit the last couple of weeks?
I have. I thought
I saw it a lot on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought Sunday was the best example of what we thought going into the season they would do. But I think the backfield is worse than we thought it would be going
oh, yeah.
into the season.
Well,
so now
Bill
I don't even know. If
Bill had to call a timeout to basically introduce everybody to each
right.
other in
yeah,
that
right.
last drive.
And tell Delph O'Neill, no, you're not in high school anymore. You have a concussion, but I need you to play.
But you're playing.
So unless those guys in the backfield step up, I don't care how good the front seven is. Against the Peyton Manning, against some of the better teams, they're going to have a lot of
chances. Well, every now and then they're going to get chances to throw.
Yeah. If the front seven is dominant, then I have faith in Bill will now not scrambling late in a game yeah. with guys that I didn't
have
expect
trouble
to play.
Too, protecting him. Now they did a great job last night of protecting Manning, but for the most part, the reason those numbers are down in terms of yards for him, you know, has been he's checking down constantly,
right?
And that's been that was in almost every story that I read. And I know there's probably an element of those guys have been with Peyton Manning for a long time, so they're going to obviously take his side the way we all did with Brady in 06.
Correctly,
but. I mean, to me, the guy had how many 4,000-yard seasons in a row? And clearly the production is falling down.
Yeah.
There has to be a reason for that. You know, Reggie Wayne's still there. Anthony Gonzalez is still there. Even if you want to say Harrison has lost a step, which he has, there's still enough there that they should be able to get the ball downfield more than they have. I think the pressure that he is probably seeing is affecting that a lot. And if the Patriots can do what they did on Sunday to the Rams against an average offensive line in Indy,
yep.
I think you can cover up for the secondary.
Gary, where
they
is
they really
this from?
Need a die back.
What
no,
is
they,
the
they
source?
They need a lot of stuff.
According
they need
to
a lot
that's
of guys
one of the
back.
Big things.
They need
Lilja stinks.
Back. They need a die back. They need Sanders back.
According to UrbanDictionary.com, incentivized is a word. Not Urban Dictionary. What is it? Oh, Urban Dictionary.
Dictionary.
And it was posted by
reliable
Eric the Pink. Literally, that's who posted this. It is what it is.
Hey, James, Kamani writes in. He says, ask James why the only pictures in the picture section are of Andy. Andy here, Andy there,
Andy's
Andy staring
cool.
at Kelly Pickler, Andy posing in a Steelers jersey. You can,
where did that go?
You can
what
tell he's
to
totally aware
picture?
Of the camera. It's so set up.
I'm not aware of the camera.
They're the only pictures I've been sent.
What are you doing?
So where is Kelly Pickler?
So James, you're right here. The wall. Andy sends you pictures so you can post them? Is that what he does?
No, not Andy.
You can give them up.
Chris said he sent them from the show. Andy did send the ones from the Pittsburgh Steelers jersey one.
The jersey.
Just to say thank you.
Because they bought me a jersey, and I thought I'd show them.
Attention whore. Andy,
and I still wear it at home. Very comfortable.
Whore. Good word.
He's an absolute whore.
Good word, Mike.
Speaking of
filthy.
Which,
let's put filthy in front of that. Filthy whore.
I don't know if Phil from Nova Scotia is queued up to.
No.
Why was it down to begin with?
Phil sent me a book.
The Big Show didn't want to dumb down.
Okay.
So, right. They only wanted a picture of them with Bill.
Guys, can I have one conversation?
Guys, can I have a little
on.
Quiet here? What does Bill say? Gary, hurry up. Quick. Pretend they're still talking.
It is what it is.
You guys get us a little quiet over here.
I want that to be my ringtone, if you can figure out that machine. But Phil from Nova Scotia sent me a book with a little note, and it's a children's book. And I'm drawing a blank on the title right now, but it's about farts. And his little note said, considering my condition and my growing family, he thought I should probably share this with my family. And he reads it to his nephews. And
I think I had that book.
It's not Everybody Poops.
No.
It's
a Canadian book, actually.
Oh, okay.
It actually references them being Canadian, because he's from Nova Scotia, obviously. I read it. It's funny.
Somebody step in a duck.
It's a cute little book. I'll read it to Jackson.
Okay.
Jackson just laughs when I fart.
All right. Well, we have on the phone right now Alan from Dayton. I don't believe Alan's ever called before. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
What's up?
What's going on?
First time calling.
Man, I listen to y'all every week, man.
All right. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm a big time Patriots fan, man. Since back in '85, man, we went to the Super Bowl.
Now, why are you? Have you always been from Ohio?
Yeah, always been from Dayton, always.
So why the Patriots?
Well, man, one time my brother was watching the games, man, and he was a Pittsburgh fan, so he was watching the playoffs, you know, and I'm like, man, this team right here, they look pretty good, man. They an underdog, and they just going all the way, you know, went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I just followed them when they played Miami in the AFC Championship.
Yep.
Went to the Super Bowl, and it was like, I was like, man, that's my team. But then we got whooped by the Bears. I was like, oh, man. I said, but that's my team here on out. Because I didn't have no team back then.
Well, good for you. You stuck with them, and it's paid off for you.
I was going to say, right after
off,
that,
man.
It was like a decade of misery.
Yeah.
This is going to be great for the next 10 years. All right, let's wrap it up.
So what do you got, Alan?
Man, I just wanted to say something about Matt Castle, man. I was at work today, man, talking to the guys, man, I like, man, dude was throwing, he's putting the ball on the money, man. They dropped a couple of them, though. You know,
they did.
Boss dropped two of them, and, you know, he's putting the ball right where it needs to be. I think he's going to be pretty good, man. I think as we go on through the season, I think we're going to be all right once we get to the playoffs. But don't worry about this Tennessee, man. They looked pretty tough last night.
They sure do. That defense is for real.
It's a pretty good defense, but I think the Patriots' defense could be
better. I think we can slow the offense down, though. I think we can slow them down if we get there. But I'm jumping the gun a little bit. But,
yep.
I mean, that's going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, it is. But
we got Andy next week, so we're going to have to worry about that. That's another monster for us, so
yep.
We're going to have to worry about that. So we'd be all right. I think we're going to handle things pretty good next week.
I think the next five games, if the Patriots come out of the next five games 3-2, they're sitting pretty.
Right, Fred.
They're sitting pretty. If they can come out.
I agree.
You are
you're at eight
right.
wins, yeah.
Yeah,
no
3-2 in those five games would be more than enough.
Yep. So, all right, Alan.
Hey, I'm gonna try to call again, man. I got to work a little early today to talk to y'all.
That's great.
Thank you.
Call anytime. Yeah. We definitely encourage that. Less work, more calling us, and not being productive.
All right, Alan.
All right,
Alan from Dayton. And just as Alan leaves, somebody's at the door.
Hola, yo soy Iggy desde Madrid. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. How's that paella treating my amigo con grande cabeza? Andy, you suck.
Well, Fred, it's another person or word from Dayton. And this is to acknowledge Alan's call, our new listener and caller from Dayton. The Dayton Arcade. The Dayton Arcade. It's
okay.
in involves treating something like a joystick. I'm just saying.
All right, well, with that, we're going to take a break. We have a lot of emails, and we'll get to them right after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar,
the hot nacho bar,
the hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship in the history books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or over to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
April 9th, 2008. Exciting news! By popular demand, I recently started a series of full-color paintings, my first foray into colors other than black and white, of famous places around the globe. I'm starting with sites and locations where I've already been, like Italy, and will soon be visiting, including Egypt. For portraits, I'll continue to create them in my signature black and white, which I find much more dramatic than color when it comes to faces. So I think the juxtaposition between these two vastly different bodies of work will offer a compelling contrast of attention-grabbing images.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
That was on a Patriots blog?
No, that's on Scalavino.com.
All right.
Attention grabbing, really.
Hey,
black and white and color have one similarity. He's
by
never sold either.
Demand.
Big shout out to Rocco Parenti, the father of Mike Parenti.
The better Parenti.
Right. For his lunch that he got to us from Stonehenge. It's delicious. That's what?
What?
No, but thank you very much, Mr. Parenti. For the lunch today. And
Mike says that Rocco is listening right now.
And he's listening, yes.
Which is
why I'm saying it.
Shout Daniel Tugender would like to pose a question. Obviously, Dan talked to Rocco and set up the lunch.
Okay.
And he came away asking one simple question.
What?
How did such a nice man
right.
end up with such a miserable son?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It is what it is. You're never happy.
It was old the seventh time you said it.
You're
today,
never happy.
So it's that not was even off funny.
You got to bring it back.
Is
on
your
the
dad
air.
Also a big Yankee and Giant fan?
He's not a Giant fan. He likes the Patriots.
Okay.
Big
so
Yankee
he is
fan,
the
though.
Better half.
He's better than Mike in so many
well,
ways.
According to you, he's just like you, Freddie. Hates the Jets, hates Mangini, thinks Mangini's a rat.
Right.
You guys would get along great.
Okay. There we go. I get along great with everyone's father. It's their kids I don't like, you know, but that's all right. No, we love Mike. And Rocco for the lunch. That's great. Thank you. On the phone right now is Justin from New York. Justin, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. Good to hear.
You need a new phone, Justin.
Say again?
Your phone is either weak on battery or bad in signal.
Oh, no. Do you want me to call back later?
Yeah, probably call back.
Okay, good.
Okay.
He just hangs up on the guy.
Well, I can't hear him.
You could hear him.
Come on. It
wasn't and yet good. You held the conversation.
Right.
It wasn't that good. He could call back, get a better connection.
So. Try a landline.
He was a new caller, too, right?
Yeah, Justin in New York.
First time, last time.
Most of our Justins are in Alaska. It's the only one I know, so right. That would be most.
What was I going to say?
The Lord only knows.
James, the people that call in, besides yourself, of course, or email, and who's your favorite emailer on the show? Who do you look forward to hearing from most on the show?
Well, strippers, obviously.
Strippers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gets any emails and answers the questions in like 5 minutes.
Right, right.
Christy in D.C.
You know, really making waves in the Atlantic.
Yeah, she's like the sort of the cover girl of PFW.
Yeah,
she seems to have taken over from Cali Girl.
She's our girl, you know. So we should probably have a calendar. We should come out with a calendar.
A two-month calendar.
Yeah, right now, it would just be Cali Girl and Christy, but, you know,
I'm
maybe
not sure
we
it's
can
Cali
add to
Girl.
That. We can add to that, and we'll come out with a 12-month PFW in Progress calendar that James could sell on the website to 10 people.
Now, are we allowed to do nudity or no?
Well, sure. Why not?
Okay. He was just like, here, hold this. And I said, okay.
Lori can be in it.
As long as it's
Christina Acra?
Yeah.
We're up to 4 months.
We're up to 4 months.
I'm sure they won't
seasonal.
Go for the nudity part. But
hi, I'm Tara. Pizza with a smile, Bertrand.
Very tasteful. Very tasteful.
There you go. Now Gary's talking.
Very tasteful. Actually.
Oh, wait, we're on the air.
Do you know Warren from London? Warren?
Warren, yeah. He's one of the UK Patriots.
Yeah, he's emailing in. He says, came to the U.S. for the last 3 games. Whoa. Patriot Place is amazing. The hall is great. While in the pro shop, I was looking
right
around.
There.
Why don't they sell the paper? Surely people will buy the club paper there or even give it away. If you buy over $200 of goods, you may get some more subscribers off of it. And also, ask Flanders why I bought a Patriots desk calendar and got a Broncos one in the box.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
So we'll have
was actually discussing this with Carol Hardy, our circulation manager upstairs. Why do we not have a little booth/table in the pro shop where we sell the T-shirts, sell the subscriptions, sell
discussing
single
or
issues?
Ripping her a new one?
Well, I was just saying, Carol, why don't we have one?
I haven't seen a copy of the paper anywhere.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Great.
I was expecting to pick some up from the pro shop. Where can I go in?
Yeah, why don't we sell them in the pro shop?
They used to.
They sell them on the website.
The
90s? Yeah. The pro shop website.
We still print that?
Flanders is the only useless person
here. We should
here.
Have a nice display and have the T-shirts there and the latest issue.
I don't know about the T-shirts, but the...
Why not?
You know.
There's issues there?
There's issues. Licensing issues. Yeah.
Wait, it's our show and we can't sell our own shirts?
No, we could. Bolello doesn't like that. But the paper certainly.
I don't like the Revs, but I can't make them go away.
Speaking of the Revs, like playoffs start That's Thursday true. Against the Chicago Fire.
Oh, I can't
so
wait.
So buy your tickets now.
And get all revved up. See what I did there?
Yeah.
To go to the finals and lose yet again.
No.
Man,
that's how it works.
Actually,
what,
if they can get by the Chicago Fire, I think they will probably go to the finals, right? Dan?
They need to win another.
But Chicago's the best team this year, right? No? Well, then how come we're playing Chicago?
Joe Public is.
Oh, we're the 3 seed.
They came here and Walt still win.
So Columbus is the best team this year.
Now, I got to assume James is just laughing that you guys are actually talking about this level of soccer with some serious degree of discussion.
Is your team in the English Premier League?
Not my first. My first team is Cardiff City, my home team.
Yeah.
But they're in the sort of the level below.
See?
Which is 1,700 levels above.
Well, still, I know, but, you know, you don't have to always be rooting for the best team in the best league. I mean, you know, I remember back in the day when Manchester United was going through their run.
But doesn't anyone want
to
talk football?
Everyone seemed to be a Manchester United fan. You know? And it's front runners.
I'm sorry, I missed it again. What team is yours?
Cardiff City.
Cardiff City.
Cardiff.
Yeah.
The home of Joe Calzaghe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my London story?
Yes.
No.
Yep.
But he told everyone else, but no.
You're supposed to say yes.
Just always say yes to Fred's stories.
Should I tell it?
No.
Okay.
Wait, now.
Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at patriots.com. Let's see. This is Alan, O-T-I-S. You know, Alan Fecto.
We do now.
It's like you never hosted the show before.
Why? What's that?
It's Groundhog Day.
He took one on the chin today from Dennis and Callahan.
Who?
Alan.
He was on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a couple of bullet points he wanted to make.
He's on like once a week on there.
Ripping McCain and John and Jerry. And he did it like real quick and smarmy and then hung up, which is like the worst thing you can do to those guys.
Yeah. Well, good that he called in anyway. But anyway, he says, great win for the team. 5-2 looks pretty good. We have two shots at Buffalo. I thought the key to the win was the way the defense responded in the third quarter. In addition to two picks by the Rams recovered an onside kick and stopped the Pats on fourth down. That's effectively four turnovers in one quarter, but the Rams converted all those breaks into only 6 points. I don't think either pick was Matt Castle's fault. One time Welker fell. The other time the ball appeared to deflect off Moss's hands. I've never been a Moss basher, but it seems to me he needs to compete for the ball a little more aggressively. He's being stripped with passes falling incomplete that seem like they could be caught. Maybe he thinks he'll get flagged for offensive pass interference if he plays too physical, but he's bigger than almost anyone guarding him, and he needs to take advantage of that size. If the Colts lose to the Titans tomorrow night, which they did, he sent this yesterday, the Pats will once again be playing on the road in a game to save the opponent's season next week. That's always a challenge, sort of like the Chargers game worked out to be. Just keep it close this time. Maybe we'll catch a break in the fourth quarter. That's Al. And Justin from New York is back on the phone. Justin, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
That is better? Much better. Much better.
Fantastic.
How you doing?
Good. I hope you guys are doing well. I hear you talking a little soccer there, so I figured I'd call back and make sure that...
Oh, man.
Well, I think he wanted to not talk soccer.
I don't think he wanted to talk soccer, Gary.
Poor guy's called twice and hasn't got to speak.
Wow.
That's his first and last call.
Thanks for joining us.
Wow. These guys look stunned. I thought it was funny.
You guys... Rude. Absolutely rude, Gary.
Coming from a New York fan.
Yeah, okay.
You can call him back, maybe.
Because it's all class here.
Caller ID?
Call him back?
If he doesn't want to talk soccer, he can talk.
Well, he I don't know. Okay. Russell writes in from the OC, Orange County, right?
Are you looking for me to say something?
Yes, Fred.
Why are you staring at me?
I don't know. Well, it must be said that this Patriots team...
Gary's getting mad again.
that this Patriots team has shown great resolve and resiliency so far this season. Although
people
these
won't like this show.
Oh, you should... Before I read this email, that just reminded... I really...
You probably should have said this before you read the email.
You should have seen how mad I got Gary yesterday about the anthems. Oh, did I get him mad.
Gary...
And he was completely wrong about it.
I owe you a 100% apology. I don't understand how difficult your job is at times, apparently. The Boston Celtics are unveiling their 17th championship banner tonight, a ring ceremony, a season opener after one of their greatest seasons ever. And you know who's doing the freaking anthem? Yes.
Yes, I do.
The drug addict failure from Fox's American Idol, Ayla Brown. So I apologize to you forever. Apparently there's just not enough anthem singers to go around, or they're too pompous to do anthems.
Well, my
anymore.
Point is you don't need, as long as they're good.
The little girl was good.
Yeah, no, she was good.
Was she little?
We should have that military people that were here a couple years ago, we should have them every game. Just have the same people do the anthem every game.
I think Ayla Brown has found a little cottage industry. She could go the rest of her life just doing anthems.
But you don't like her.
I hate her.
But, you know, have like an in-house anthem singer.
Could Eric do it?
Like the Bruins did with Marcel Marceau over there. What's his name?
That's his name.
Oh,
do they pay him?
Gary's like daggers are coming out of his eyes.
Yeah, let's have a full-time anthem song.
I'm with Gary on this one.
What's that?
It's hard to have a little cottage industry when you're not paying them.
Right. That's why I'm saying you don't. Let's
so, Gary,
just,
the Celtics
sure
weren't
Gary
willing
could
to pay.
Get someone that's a lot better if we paid.
Because that's embarrassing.
They love Ayla Brown. They did. She did, I think, all three, or was going to do all three game sevens.
I just don't get the fascination. I'm sorry, but I don't get the fascination with J.D. Drew or Ayla Brown. She stinks.
Wow, lumping in.
What does J.D. Drew have to do with anything here?
High-priced free agents with
I got it, Andy. Thanks, Gary.
I got it, too.
Anyway, Russell says, well, it must be said that the Patriots team has shown great resolve and resiliency so far this season. Although these qualities, while admirable, will have an adverse effect on our draft position. If you had to look for a silver lining,
and we're
with
the negative
Thomas,
ones. Me and Andy get lumped in with the negative crowd.
Right, we're 5-2 when he's
too
married.
Many,
well, that's we're
well, 5-2. That's
position.
Too many wins. You win 5 games, you're already out of the top 10.
If you look, if you had to look for silver lining when St. Thomas of Pigskin was taken out, it had to be a draft position of 6-10. There's a whole lot of secondary to overhaul next year, except for Merriweather, who has surely picked up his game. Of course, the biggest concern has to be all this infection talk. Brazilian germs are hard to eradicate. A couple of things I'd like to hear your thoughts on. Have you noticed Randy Moss seems to be dropping balls again, like in his Oakland days? Seymour seems to put a bit too many late hits on the quarterbacks. He at least hits them in the legal range, but if he does what he did to Bulger against the protected bunch, like Manning, Favre, or Pittsburgh Burgermeister, there will be a flurry of 15-yard laundry markers.
I don't see it.
I will admit Castle is playing a bit more steady, but I'm not sold on anything but the fact his wife is hot. Did we know that? Did we seen his wife?
News to
wife
me.
His well, wife we did, crack. But why does he?
Lastly, a few years back, you guys were talking about the possibility of a new alternate jersey that would incorporate the old red color scheme. Any info on that? Thanks for the great show. Stay well.
Well, it's not the old red color scheme. It's a red alternate jersey. It's the current color scheme and uniform and logo, but a red face.
They will be converting to that.
So. And it's going to be great. That'll pop in HD.
But back to the Seymour late hits. A, do you think he's leveling late hits? And B, the same hits he's been putting on the last few weeks, if he does it against Manning next week, let's say, does he get flagged?
I think that they have been a couple that have been very, very close. The way they call roughing the passer now, I think I would put myself in the surprise category that he hasn't gotten flagged. I don't think it matters at all about who the quarterback is. Mark Bulger has been around the league for a long time. If there was some bias toward quarterbacks, he would get it. And they didn't call it the other day. I don't know why they chose not to. It's a dangerous game you're playing, though, because when you get that kind of pressure on the guy, he's obviously throwing it before he wants to. Why take the chance? You know, and hit him like that. I thought there were a couple that were really on the edge on Sunday. And I think the follow-through, Pierre Woods had won the Monday night game against Cutler. It wasn't so much the late factor as it was kind of pile-driving him into the ground. Now, it didn't get called that night either. But I think you're kind of just playing Russian roulette with those.
That reminds me of the Adam Schefter report on Vince Wilfork that came out Sunday morning. What do you guys think about the report said that the league is taking a look at Denver sent the league a film of him giving an elbow to Jay Cutler's head on one play, and the league is taking a look at that, and, you know, there might be something down the road. Bill Belichick was asked about it on Patriots Monday. He said, you know, we looked at our film. You know, we didn't see it. Maybe their film stuck with the play a little longer than our camera guy. But it's a league matter, and whatever they do, they'll do.
It is what it is.
Zipped lip. Not talking film.
If Adam Schefter reports it, that there's a possibility.
Well, plus they showed it. It wasn't
good.
Like Adam Schefter said that
no,
the
Denver
films showed something.
But I mean,
they
if he's hearing
film.
That there might be a suspension, it means because the league is considering a suspension because he's part of the league and he.
Yeah, I was just kind of addressing
good stories.
You know, Bill saying that our tape didn't show anything. Well, there's a tape that NFL Network showed that did show something, and even Florio, who has suddenly been added to the payroll here at One Patriot Place, has been a good friend of the program, if you know what I'm saying. Even he admitted that it was he's very pro-Patriot, is what I'm saying.
No, he isn't.
Mike Florio?
You couldn't get that
makes
from
fun
last
of us
two
all
references?
The time.
Okay.
No, he doesn't.
He was making fun of Bill Belichick cheating last week.
You're very much misinformed in that regard. He was very pro-Patriot throughout the Spygate thing. Matter of fact, he was very anti-ESPN throughout the Spygate thing.
I'm defending
he was one
the
of
Patriots,
the rare voices of reason.
You didn't read
that
last
thing.
Week where he was making fun of us?
Well, making fun doesn't mean you're not on the payroll.
But it's still.
I mean, we're on the payroll
all the time.
He has a little bit of me in him where he's defending somebody one second and then thinks of a wise-ass remark to say and says it the next.
But that doesn't mean that you're not. I mean, he has been killing ESPN. Matter of fact, he was the one.
He kills ESPN for everything.
And he's the one who brought up the comparison of the Brett Favre memo to Spygate, which to me was completely two different animals.
But that's because he's very pro-patriot. No, it's because he's anti-ESPN. He has a chip on his shoulder because ESPN makes the business of taking credit for other people's stories.
But isn't that one and the same?
No, it isn't.
Well, you said ESPN hates
ESPN. He's using us to make a point.
Patriots hate ESPN, and Florio hates ESPN, so they're aligned.
But for different reasons.
I disagree. But anyway.
No, of course, because it's anti-Patriots.
No, it's pro-Patriot. Florio's pro-Patriot.
No, I know he is.
Yes, I agree. Now we're on the same
side.
You're
saying he is.
As we're
going to end up with one of those where they both say, right.
Anybody that ever sided with the Patriots is obviously biased.
No. Why do you have to be biased to be pro-Patriot? We're pro-Patriot. Are we biased?
He's not biased. I don't think he's biased. I think he's very level with what
people won't.
I think that he'll go after anybody. I think that that's why people like him.
Let me know when he goes after the Patriots. But anyway, the point is that he's
even criticized our website.
For what?
Oh, now he's taking shots.
A quick side note: there was some criticism of your cheerleaders.
I mean, he was right. I remember there was one morning. It might have been the draft or something. We did something. We didn't have something up there in time. And I even emailed him, and I said, you're right. It was my screw-up. So.
Right. But anyway, the point being is that I don't know what you're – I mean, if you have some information to give us.
I'm just telling you. That's my experience with him is that he's very level. He doesn't – I don't even know who he likes as a team.
He hates Peyton Manning and Bill Polian. He loves the Patriots.
Well, we all
I mean, if you can't
ESPN.
Figure that out by reading him every
Pretty
day,
obvious.
I don't know what you're reading.
But doesn't he hate ESPN? Doesn't he have a
yes,
history? Didn't they buy the website and then
– He hates ESPN, but I'm talking about he clearly has aligned himself on the Patriots side of the cult. The big thing
in the
NFL
we're right.
is he hates
– No, but that's the point.
But he hates Peyton
Paul,
Manning. Is there any reason to hate Peyton Manning?
Now, why do you say he hates Peyton
He calls
Peyton
him Herman Munster.
Well –
Why
so
does
what?
He hate Peyton Manning? He can't stand him.
He makes fun of everybody.
He makes fun of all his commercials that he's in, says he's not ready to play. He criticized him for the whole thing with the infection in the knee. What was there to be critical of on that?
I don't know.
What was wrong about him not saying in the week leading up to the Chicago game that he had a second procedure done? It's the same exact thing the Patriots would have done. And any NFL team should do, by the way. You conceal that information as much as you possibly can, right? But he was highly critical of Dungy and Manning for that whole charade.
Well, I mean, that's his opinion, but
exactly.
I don't know if he's that
and
much
it's anti-Manning.
You know, I don't know if he's anti-Colts or whatever.
If it was Alex Smith concealing the injury, he wouldn't have been up in arms about it. I'll tell you that.
I mean, there's a lot of people he's gone after on that site. Is he against all of them?
No, but I think it's like Andy says. He makes a lot of smart-ass remarks about a lot of teams, which are funny. I love the site.
Right.
I think his you know. The same thing that we always get criticized for, the snarky comments, I think are what carry
his –
That's
site
why
on
he's
the internet.
Best.
I know, but when you make snarky comments about the Bengals, it's just easy to do.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you necessarily
but
hate
you
the Bengals. It's just easy
but
stuff.
But don't you think you really have to kind of grasp at stuff to find the amount of things that he criticizes one of the best organizations for?
I don't know.
In Indianapolis?
Maybe.
I think it's very telling, Fred. That
I think
we
there's
hate
a lot of holier than thou stuff.
No, but
going
we
on
hate Polian, and we obviously work for the arch rival of.
But
Polian.
We're not the only ones.
But we. But wouldn't it be understandable for us to feel the way we do about Polian? They're our arch rival. We work for the other team.
Yeah, but
he's supposed to be this independent guy
but
who just criticizes everybody.
I understand, but there's a lot of people that make fun of Bill Polian, not just from New England, because Bill Polian is what he is. He deserves
So what about Peyton Manning, then? Is he a guy that a lot of people make fun of?
Whining. A lot of people did. Before he won a Super Bowl, a lot of people were all over him.
A lot
him.
Of people said he couldn't win the
England.
Big one.
Yeah, and whining and
And he
all
has
that
things
stuff.
That are easy to make fun
Absolutely.
Of.
His look, face.
First of all, is
really?
Dorky. His look is very
dorky. You think
dorky.
He has a lot of things to make
yes.
fun of?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess I'm wrong, then, because I don't see anything to make fun of with him.
Oh, I do. I think
Other
he's
than
a
his
big tool.
Long neck.
He looks like a penis, let's face it.
He has that giraffe neck that I think
And when
he
wears a turtleneck, he looks like a circumcised penis.
Great. See, that coming from you is funny to me. That's our arch rival. We hate them. I understand that.
But it's an observation that I think anyone would make.
Well, that to me is even more funny, that you just think anybody would say that the guy
clearly,
is a circumcised penis.
Clearly Eli Grohl.
Anybody would come up with that.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, I don't know.
Who
understand.
Else can see the association between Peyton Manning and a penis?
Exactly. No. A circumcised one.
A circumcised one.
Only
sorry.
In a turtleneck.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
And when he threw up.
Oh, all right.
See now.
Oh, see, what? I didn't say that.
That was Gary.
That was Gary.
All I said was he threw up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that was good. Paul and I hadn't been in it for a while, so.
Yeah, you know, got to spice
good
it up
to get,
a little.
You know,
got to spice
out,
it up a little, Fred. We only got another half hour or so.
Yep.
Or an hour.
All right.
You guys leave.
You have
That's
another
right.
hour.
I have another hour.
All right. So
Fred somehow has us in Needham by like 2:30.
No, we got a lot of emails.
Still don't know how that's happening.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Paul and Fred are really battling it out. But did he really just call his boss a liar?
You aren't just lying. You're slowing down the progress of all mankind. You douche.
Douche. Patriots.com Radio.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship of the History Books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right. Hey, this just in from Strippers. The fastest man on a keyboard. He says this from Mike Florio. A leaked source tells us that Patriots defensive tackle Vince Wilfork is meeting in New York today with Commissioner Roger Goodell and Executive VP of Football Operations Ray Anderson. The meeting could result in a suspension of Wilfork, the Pats' starting nose tackle and one-time on-air nose picker. The meeting is scheduled to commence. See, he's making fun of the guy.
Yeah, that's a rocket shot.
The meeting is scheduled to commence after the powers that be with Chiefs running back Larry Johnson, who faces a suspension for multiple alleged violations of the personal conduct policy. As Adam Schefter of NFL Network reported on Sunday, Wilfork is a candidate for a suspension based upon his most recent on-field transgression, an elbow to the head of Broncos quarterback Jay Cutler. Though Wilfork has insisted in the past that he's not a dirty player, he has been fined for throwing an elbow to the knee of former Bills quarterback J.P. Losman and for going mo on Giants running back Brandon Jacobs. That's when he poked his finger in his eye, like Three Stooges.
Three Stooges mo, yeah.
So there is Mike Florio sticking up for the Patriots once again.
Quiet, numbskull.
He's just reporting facts.
Right.
And actually, he's reporting Adam Schefter's facts.
Well,
exactly.
But you could ignore them, like ESPN ignored the whole thing about Favre. Right?
It's no use, Paul.
It is what it is.
Paul, it is no use.
Anyway, I'm here to defend Vince Wilfork because he's not a dirty player.
It's just a fun fact.
Jay Cutler deserved that.
I'm here to eat donuts. That's what I'll be doing in the corner for the
Jay
rest
Cutler
of the show.
Deserved it.
He deserved it. He said
you
something.
Even have the UK Patriots fans laughing at you now.
He said something. You know? So
this our first, I think we can't first ever show before a live audience.
Andy just ate about 2 pounds of food. Now he's eating a donut with chocolate all over it.
I'm telling you. How
and
he
it's a second donut.
How he doesn't look like me is one
and
of the...
And it's a second donut.
Steroids. Just that's true.
I thought you gave
Hair.
It with steroids.
HGH.
Yeah. He's taking a diuretic.
Yeah. Will Smith.
Right.
My body has a natural diuretic.
Is that right?
This will go right through me. Don't you worry about it.
On the phone is John from Palm Bay. That's it. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's good. Up, John?
Why are you so excited today?
No, I'm just driving my car.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I just got a quick question. My comment about Castle is I think he's starting to get the offense, and I think the offense is going to start clicking in the next couple weeks here.
Okay, that's not a question, John.
No, I said just a quick comment.
Oh, comment.
He likes what he's seeing from
think
Castle.
We all agree. I think that this is he's making progress, and as Bill has said about any player, all you want to do is see progress. You just want to see them keep improving, and Castle has absolutely done that. I mean, you can't say anything but that. Okay.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, John.
Thanks,
you.
John.
Hey.
That guy just tore him down. It's not a question.
Yeah, nice job.
Man,
he's been in as a sideline reporter. They don't ask any questions either.
At least I didn't blow him up.
Did you take jerk pills today?
We're not treating our
the jerk store call. They're running
class.
Out of you.
Oh,
that's
jerk. A good one.
That's pretty good.
Good so far, we yelled at one guy because he didn't ask a question. He hung up on a
guy for no reason.
Nice job, Gary.
This has been a tough day for the PFW crew.
Let's see. Ping Pong is calling in. Ping
Pong.
He said Eric likes Andy's smaller head in the game.
Ping Pong.
What a game. It was one of those games that got me jumping up and down at the final whistle. I first would like to say congrats to Castle for his first career comeback win. Moss's 800th catch. Wes Welker becoming only the fourth player in NFL history to have six or more receptions in the first seven games of the season. That's kind of a stretch to me, that stat.
Kind
of.
Yeah.
And an extra woo-woo to all the Patriots for playing the first no-penalty game in their history.
And even when they committed penalties, the referee just said, there is no penalty on the play, despite Mark Bulger's face turning left 5 feet.
That was not a face mask. It wasn't. Some things I've noticed from the game. One, I noticed that Castle took a couple more shots deep downfield. Do you think he's becoming more comfortable throwing the deep ball? I guess.
So. I would say he's more comfortable in general.
Yeah.
And that may lead to more
taking
chances
shots
downfield.
Deep.
I think he's been taking shots. I agree with Mike. I just think he's more comfortable in general.
Even though the battle Rams stormed the Castle. The defending Knights only allowed three of the unworthy little Rams to hit and knock down parts of the Castle whilst he was still holding the pigskin. Do you think that this O-line is getting better, or Castle knowing when to step up, sidestep, etc.? I bet Eric was disappointed that the Patriots gave up only 3 sacks. He was in heaven last week with 6 sacks.
Ping pong.
No, I think it's both. I think the line is getting a little better, and I think Castle is learning. The clock in his head is getting a little better.
And the Rams
as well.
Did rush three.
I was going to say, we talked
that's
about
that whole thing
game.
About the Knights in there. There was some mention of 3 Knights. I think he was saying they
that's
only rushed
only
three.
They didn't. I think they made an error in game plan and didn't come after him enough. I think when you have a guy that's taken as many sacks as Castle has over the last month, to sit back and try to play coverage against them, I don't think that was a smart.
Well, and if you're only going to rush three, you better defend the pass and still get 267 yards.
But when you have all that time, you're going to find somebody.
Right.
And
especially
that's what happened.
When the only time, great secondary.
The only time they ever got pressure was late in the game when they were a little bit desperate and they blitzed them a little bit and they got to them.
Yeah. Three, the secondary could use some work. I think we all agree with that.
First of all, you need to figure out what the secondary is
right,
going to
who
be.
Who is the
Who's
secondary?
Who's playing in the secondary?
Right. And was it just me, or did Seymour suddenly turn it on? Seven tackles and a sack is pretty good. He had a good game.
And I believe he had
four quarterback hits.
On a lighter note, I decided to try to spread the ping pong legacy to some of the other shows, so I emailed Rook on Patriots Playbook. What a bleeping disaster. First, he somehow thought that my name was Caroline, when I obviously put ping pong in capital letters all over the email. Second, he somehow thought that I was a girl. Third, he missed half of my email that I sent him. Lastly, he somehow thought that I lived in New Jersey when I really live in sunny Florida. I refused to ever email that show again. Now I see why you sent Eric over there. The show needs as much help as it can get.
I got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
Ping pong, apparently there's some people calling in to question your validity.
Yes.
Whether
on,
you are what
on
you
James's site
report yourself
as well.
To be.
There's,
yes.
Some threads on the forum saying
they think you're a storyteller.
You are a fraud.
Grab some photos would debunk that claim.
So, yeah, cell phone at the proper time and angle would prove them all wrong. Send me those first.
Keep yourself out of them, though.
Uh-oh, here comes Chris. Yeah. Chris Ferreira, the
no
webmaster.
No meat in this sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to take
Ferreira
some pictures. Sucks. Merry Christmas.
You going to send those to James?
Okay. It's amazing how he does this. He's like seamless. He just fades into the background. Marches in.
Didn't even notice.
Just like
the
link to our show.
You are how could I not know the camera's
there? Why are
you
taking pictures of the fat?
Yeah, they don't want more pictures of me.
And don't go.
Get Paul.
Don't
turn the flash off, though.
Don't go.
It'll be like taking
side.
A picture in
Wide
an aquarium.
Lens.
That reflection.
No,
yeah, they already complained. There's too many pictures of Andy on the site.
That's
they
right.
want
well,
more Fred.
Well, come to find out now, he's sending him out.
Come over here, because if you take it from back there, Fred looks like Paul.
If you ever do what you did last week again, you're fired.
What'd you do last week?
He put Paul in my picture on the homepage of Patriots.com.
Fred, I have to admit.
Have you seen these?
I look terrible, but you looked like you just got out of prison.
You looked like a movie star compared to me.
My
tea bags were under my eyes.
His tea bags.
Those are Arabian
bags. Oh, no. I mean, that was the night after.
Gary's frustrated.
I was tired.
You know what?
From all those tea bags.
This is a trend because you were not yourself on Sunday, on game day, either. You were
clear. This Sunday?
Yes.
You
went.
You had problems at home?
Yeah, I was tired.
Why are you drinking so much?
Oh, I feel
I drink
like a drunk.
Why?
nine
beers.
I hadn't drank the night before. I was just tired. I don't know.
Why are you always drunk all the time?
I'm not sleeping.
You were hungover at the TV show?
Here's the problem. I had the discussion with the wife. I said, look.
The wife or your wife?
No, my wife. I said, we have to cut back. We have this, you know, the thermostat has a little thing you can program on it, right? So I said, you got to make it colder. If you're cold, put a blanket on, a sweat, whatever.
Wow.
You know,
times
but
have even hit the Kirsch household.
She's got it programmed so like at 4 a.m. it kicks on.
So it's warm when you wake up.
It's too hot. I wake up at 4 a.m. now.
Because it's 90 in Fresno.
Yeah, I don't
because
like
you have
it.
Too many margaritas.
You walk around shirtless, no shoes.
I gotta talk to her about this.
What does she have it set at?
I don't know, but it's just too hot. It's too hot. She's
are
always
you unhappy
cold.
At home?
Is your wife always cold?
Women are always cold.
Yeah, generally.
Women
are but right now, cold. She's on this kick that we're not putting the heat on until November 1st.
Well, good. I like that.
Yeah, well,
doesn't
you know
need
what?
To be on.
The
I
dime
would
that we're
that.
Saving isn't really helping anybody.
Does she know that oil has gone down like
we don't even
$1.50?
We don't have oil.
I'm a fur-bearing animal.
He doesn't
have
oil.
I don't get cold.
It's a fun fact.
I'm a fur-bearing animal.
It's a fun
one who
fact.
Bears fur?
Yes.
Oh. But you shave it all off with that man groomer.
Just in the back.
The man groomer.
Oh, when I don't need to know about
when
the
wind's
front.
Blowing, I stand against the wind. So
all right, too much info.
Check out the landing strip.
Oh.
Gary's just not having it today. There's something on his
he's
mind.
He's not here. He's not here.
He's in another
I'm
place.
Good.
He just gave
he's
up.
Enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's watching
he didn't yell at
the
you
whole
yet.
Operation.
He's
There's
walked
no
out of the
show
around.
Andy, you can have another donut.
No, that would be...
You
gluttonous.
You can do
two
it.
Two donuts. They stay in your system like 3 days.
Yeah, I know.
Susan is
Dunkin'
very,
Donuts,
not,
by the way. Good job hitting the sponsor.
Not
in
your system. Not in your system.
Susan is concerned about Tom Brady, but she says, if I were Tom, I'd want to do rehab close to my family for support and tender, loving care. If he'd had the surgery on the East Coast, he'd be flying
you know
back and forth, and that's not good for clots.
And they wouldn't
Someone
be amputated.
Someone should tell the media that and shut them up.
I like your boobs.
But I don't understand why his family can't come here. He can fly them here.
Plus,
and why does he need?
Why does he need to see his mommy
right.
during
I mean,
rehab?
His
he's not
adult.
Recovering from cancer.
He's a professional.
it's just a knee injury.
He's an adult. His
Jesus.
Family
yeah.
right now
it's
is
just a
is
fun
Giselle.
Fact.
His job, his $60 million contract is here.
Right.
That annoys me.
I mean, I understand.
You need someone to tuck him in at night and read him bedtime.
I understand.
That's what Giselle's for.
The unique aspect of the child. Okay, his son is in L.A. I understand that.
Right.
And it's maybe a rare chance for him to spend more time. But I don't really
Could have done that this offseason, too, when he was in Italy and Bangkok and wherever the hell else he was.
Bangkok. I don't think that had anything to do with the decision.
Matt from Oregon's on the phone. Matt, how you doing?
All right, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Doing all right.
Hey, Matt.
Been in hunting lately?
Yeah, it's been a very unsuccessful season, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
You missed.
Well, hunting areas that I don't really know very well, so, you know, you don't know where the animals are specifically, so it's kind of just, you know, hunting blind.
Oh. So, in other words,
like
the animals have a fair chance.
In other words, it's fair now. It's not in a cage where he just pops it.
Just spray and pray.
Right, exactly. Hey, listen, two things. First of all, how about that Mike Singletary, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, love it.
Lay down the law.
Now, there's a bear.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Fur bear.
There's a bear, exactly.
Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Then when it's all
done.
Can't. All right, what's up, guys?
Hey, is Mike there?
Yes.
All right, Mike.
Yes.
We got to talk, buddy.
Uh-oh.
This should be good. Okay.
I listened to Thursday's podcast, obviously, after Thursday's show, so I didn't get to, you know, I didn't get to call in and respond. But, you know, you taking joy in the downfall of Elite XC and all that stuff, and I got to say, I could not agree more, to be honest
with you.
Thank you.
All right.
Because the Elite XC is to the USC as that XFL.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, I'm homesick. I'm homesick today, so sorry.
You're homesick?
That XFL is to the NFL.
Hey, now,
that,
did you see
that? What
happened in UFC 90 this weekend? There was another joke of a fight where a guy ran around the ring for 3 minutes and the guy lost, blowing his knee out.
Yeah, well, and if you read all the articles and stuff, everybody is outraged by the way that guy acted.
I don't blame them. That's just disgraceful.
It's a joke.
Never had a bad heavyweight title fight, though.
No, but not guys blowing their knees out and losing the fight that way. That's just disgraceful. That just shows lack of conditioning, whatever the case may be.
In general,
he tore an ACL because it was a lack of conditioning.
Well, hey, Tom Brady doesn't compete, right? So that's how he tore his ACL.
No.
So you
isn't the disgrace of boxing generally the decisions, though?
The disgrace of boxing is the gambling.
You can have a disgrace in any
event.
You can have a bad Super Bowl.
Fights.
Doesn't mean NFL sucks if you have a bad Super Bowl.
The quality of the fighting is a lot better on every level.
In?
Well,
boxing.
I
particularly
disagree,
at the lower weight classes. I'm not talking heavyweight. I'm talking the lower weight classes.
It's both.
Oh, I agree. As far as I used to be a big boxing fan, and I agree that you know the lower weight classes are so much better.
Oh, absolutely.
Than
there's so much more fun to watch. There's more action. Absolutely. There's more of everything. Did you watch
Pavlik
Hopkins' great fight?
The same is true in the UFC, too. You know, the lightweights are the most exciting fights because they're so fast and they push the pace so hard and everything.
Right. It's not guys rolling on the floor for 3 minutes.
Well, listen, I'm glad you bring that up. Because
but the lightweights is frustrating because they're just banging each other in the face and nobody goes down. You know?
No, listen,
yeah.
Listen,
hate that
Mike.
Face banging.
Yes. I'm listening.
All right. That rolling around on the floor stuff, and I don't blame you for thinking this way because you don't have any experience with it. I used to be the same way, and that's why I get so heated in this argument. But here's the deal. When I first started hearing about the UFC and everything, my brother was taking jiu-jitsu, and we wrestled.
Does anyone want to talk football?
He absolutely just demolished me on the ground.
Right.
Just caught me in an armbar right away, and I was like, whoa, what is this, you know, jiu-jitsu stuff? So here's the deal. I'm coming home in May.
Uh-oh.
All right?
He's going to kick your ass.
No. Listen.
Yes, I'm listening.
I have a challenge. We'll do it right. We'll get a ring. You know, we'll go to a local boxing club or whatever. We'll do it right. We won't just make it a brawl. But I want to challenge you. You can strike. I can't. I can only use jiu-jitsu.
Wait a minute.
What
is that? You're obviously trained in jiu-jitsu, and Mike's not trained
and Mike's
going to
get his ass kicked,
this
so I love it.
The only thing
way.
Mike's
unless
trained at is making fun of Joe Torre.
Unless you want to do this against Bernard Hopkins, I'm not really interested.
Yeah. All this rolling around on the ground stuff, it doesn't mean anything.
I never said
nothing. I wouldn't even get a belt.
I never said it wasn't effective. I just said it's not entertaining.
He's backtracking right now.
Because they had a friend of mine.
Beep, beep, beep. I'm still with Mike.
No, my friend told me, he says, no, there's less of that now in UFC. There's not less of it. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's still as prevalent as it ever was.
Well, yeah, it is just as prevalent as it ever was. But actually, this last fight card, there were only two fights that ended by submission. I was disappointed to see that because, I mean, that ground stuff, if you have a little bit of an understanding
what
of what's going on there. Anyway, I didn't want to drag this out because, you know.
Because Gary gets mad.
A victory and everything. But I wanted to lay down that challenge. You can have time to think about it.
He accepts.
But, you know, it's not till May. You can learn a little boxing between now and then. And I can't hit you. You can hit me as much as you want. But I'm allowed to use jiu-jitsu.
I'll have to train for some boxing then.
I like it.
Wow.
He accepts. You can train all you want.
He'll see you in May.
Matt's pretty big.
You are no challenge.
This sounds like an off-season podcast slash video podcast.
Matt's pretty big to the mic. I don't know.
No, I'll get my ass kicked, yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy
it. No, but you're not going to get your ass kicked.
Well, he can't strike you.
Right. All you do is tap out once he puts you in some weird submission.
Right. And once I get you, you just tap. I won't hurt you.
The land of the law there.
He won't hurt you. I'll wrestle you.
You could very easily knock me out with one punch, too.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It could totally backfire.
I doubt it.
I'll take you on, too, Andy, if you want to fight.
I'd like to see.
Look at all the trash that Andy talks
that
about.
That I'd like to see.
That's right.
Andy with your little chicken legs.
Have you seen his legs? No, because he doesn't wear shorts. I'm assuming it's because there's little chicken legs under those pants.
But anyway, you can't base your opinion of MMA by what you see in the Elite XC.
Oh, no, that stuff's terrible.
That stuff is crap.
And it's like watching the Revs.
Those guys go from, soccer. You know, fry cooks to champions.
Yeah, no, I agree.
These guys
I agree.
In
it's
UFC
terrible.
Have been training their whole lives.
All right.
But anyway, I'm laying down the challenge.
Okay, right. Matt.
Let me know.
All right. Matt. And, Matt looking to grapple.
Go from bar
Matt's looking for trouble.
People won't like this show.
He's laying down gloves and gauntlets and challenges.
And gauntlets.
Does that mean he's bringing more elk burgers in May?
I don't know.
Hey, you never know.
All right, so the challenge is down. Mike's going to think about it. Start training his boxing.
No chance. Isn't your uncle a boxing guy?
Yeah.
He'll get you in the gym. He'll get you going. You only
spar
need
a little
one
bit
punch.
With, like, Manfredo and those guys.
You don't have to just box. You could still kick and stuff.
I could still kick, too. Yeah. Force, trauma. Start building some hurting bombs.
Let's see. Amy writes in about the calendar. She says, "Hi, fellas, and Hall of Famer Paul Perillo. Just wanted to ask you two questions. One, Paul, am I hot enough for the calendar?
I don't
Do you know Amy?
Oh, picture? That Amy?
Yeah.
Well, for this calendar, yes.
Oh!
There's a backhand.
Damn.
Whack!
And two, at the end of the season, what do we do about Castle? Do you think he'll be happy to return to the backup, or do you think it's time to trade him? Of course, this is taking for granted that Brady will be fit and ready from Not So Hot Amy.
Oh.
Well, it'd have to be a sign-in trade, wouldn't it be?
So what do you think?
I think you're hot, Amy.
I think Castle has
Seen Amy.
I would give him a less than 5% chance to be back in a Patriot uniform. I think if he continues to play the way he has, he's going to earn himself a pretty substantial contract on the free agent market. If he bottoms out and takes a turn for the worse and is terrible, why would the Patriots want him back?
Right.
The only I'll give that little leeway in between that he just wants to stay here, and the Patriots offer him a modest contract to do so, and he would do anything to stay.
Yeah.
And I don't – well, that's what I'm saying, less than 5%. Can't do it.
But in the normal, the 95% where he signs somewhere, then everybody turns on him, and Fred's watching the box score every week. Three interceptions should have stayed in New England.
No.
Why do you say no like you won't do it?
For him, I wish only the best.
Yeah, okay.
Unless he leaves the team.
What if he goes to the Jets?
I don't care. Unless he leaves the team and starts bad-mouthing us, then that's when I take exception.
Yeah, we had an ask.
That's very poor.
Best case would be somebody, preferably an AFC rival, overpays for them and hurts themselves. Now –
how about the Jets?
I don't know who would do it, but maybe the Jets.
If Favre retires this year and they need a quarterback.
Kansas City's going to be looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, it's not a rival, though.
No,
and
he'll stink there because they're going to stink.
Oh, he would,
Larry Johnson stinks.
You know what I found out last night that I did not know? You know how we made all that big deal of Kansas City and how they had something like 33 guys in their first or second year, or 26 or under? You know who's second? Indianapolis. Had 26 guys, like 25 or younger or something like that. They mentioned that last night in the game. Huh. I was surprised by that because you think they have all these
more
veterans.
Of them are backups there.
You think they have. Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs, they all start.
Kansas City had like 8 of them were starting on opening day.
Mike from Pensacola says, "Hey, men of PFW and Eric of Gay. my question has to do with Jimmy Sanders and Brandon Merriweather. Why do you think that Belichick started Sanders at free safety and Merriweather at strong? Is it strictly scheme-related, like last year when we had Hobbs covering the other team's number one wide receiver, while Samuel, for the most part, covered the opposite receiver? Also, what skill set do you believe a strong safety needs versus a free safety? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. This show just keeps getting better every week."
Why are we saying that Brandon Merriweather started at strong? And
I actually saw a lot of
because Merriweather was deep a lot. And even when it was
deep?
One deep, Merriweather was deep. I saw James Sanders at the line of scrimmage. I saw him blitz and get stopped easily.
I just think where they're starting and lining up on that flip card is just...
Well, I mean, is this because Fox said strong safety Brandon Merriweather?
If that's what we're
going
by, then that doesn't matter. If there was something that you saw in the game, then I missed that because I saw a lot of two deep, and Andy's right. Sanders was at the line a few times, and Andy pointed out that he was.
Remember how I was saying, this is good. It'll put him in a role where he can succeed, and he'll get some chances to blitz. He did, and got stuffed like
well,
a monkey.
Well, and the Rams and Bulger afterwards said they were playing a lot of two deep in the second half to try to take
after
away
they,
the
And he mentioned there was ways to go
early.
About that, but he didn't get
they didn't
he
do
felt
it
like
they didn't
he didn't
run
get the
ball.
Time.
Yeah. Because he is a pansy.
Yeah, and I would say.
Add him to that list of chump players who do some decent things in the league but stink.
In general, the skill set that I think Andy would talk about with Sanders that would make him more of a strong safety, in theory, would be the physical nature and the tackling, the ability to support and the run better, and the free safety would be more of a speed guy, cover guy, ability to cover the deep middles.
Now, Sanders isn't ideal. He could be, if you're building a strong
you
safety.
You love James Sanders.
No, but you would have a bigger player, first of all. He's a little short and a little underweight in terms of being ideal for a strong safety. A strong safety is knocking on being a linebacker.
Yeah, you walk up
to the
line.
But with a little bit better running ability.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for in a great, strong safety. A guy I like is, I was watching some of the highlights.
James Sanders?
Aaron Rouse is a big,
Aaron
fast.
Aaron Rouse was a big safety.
And a guy I loved coming out, had bad knees, and that hurt him, but didn't hurt him when he was going 100 yards with Peyton Manning's pass last week.
Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, says if you want a tour, you got to do it now.
Okay.
Because he's going to be busy later.
I doubt it.
So
he's very, very overworked.
We're going to relieve you of your duties here. Thank you for coming in.
No, thank you.
And thank you for all the work that you've done and are doing on PFW in Progress. It's a great site.
We really
People
do appreciate
buy your T-shirts. We do appreciate it. And thanks for all your friends for coming as well. And
yes,
thanks
thank
for
you.
The donuts.
Thanks for the donuts.
Yeah. And have a
I'll
good
keep eating them.
Have a good time with Chris. He knows everything, so just ask him a lot of questions.
Good one.
And have a good time at the hall, too.
Yeah, thanks.
So
thanks
we'll be
for
talking. All right. We're going to take
Hopefully
a break. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower for my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Super League Championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! My
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
October 7th, 2008. Important safety tip. At the risk of duplicating the drivel that bogs down the relevant football items in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column, I give you some PFW aggravating, or more appropriately, frightening, travel moments of the trip. Let's just put it this way. Enter a car driven by Michael Parenti at your own risk. As we were buzzing past car after car, all I could think about was my wife and kids and if I would ever see them again. Really? I'm getting too old for this macho high school bull ampersand asterisk carrot percentage exclamation point. Eric, Mr. Responsibility himself, is sitting next to me in the backseat shaking his head at every move Mike makes. Eric must have thought it was a Wednesday PFW in progress show because he never uttered a word. What a PU ampersand asterisk carrot exclamation point.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Just say it, Dan. Pussy.
We're not allowed to say it. We are not allowed to say that.
Yes, we can.
Can you record that and use that as
Gary,
a
clip? I thought we couldn't say that.
When we're talking about it as like a sissy, we can.
No, you
no
can.
I don't think we can.
That's the negative connotation of the word.
When I think you're a jerk, I can't call you a D.I. head. Oh. Right? Not allowed to say that.
Die head.
No.
You can say pussycat.
Well, yeah, you can say pussycat.
Pussy footing.
Paul's favorite emailer, William Barry, writes in.
Great, but I wanted you to get to Amy's picture.
Amy, you are definitely hot. No, Paul is definitely fat, old, and apparently blind.
Well, first and gay.
Of all, I can only do one thing at a time.
The fat and old thing is pretty obvious.
Well, your eyelids got so fat you couldn't see that she was hot.
She sent an odd. Well, come on.
The fat
first
particles.
Of all, let's relax, okay?
She's
over
hot.
There.
Judge your vision.
She sent in an audition photo, and I say that she's in the mag.
She's
in. Yeah.
She's a good-looking girl.
Amy has sent us a picture.
You dropped the ball, pal.
Amy gets into the calendar.
Is that a hair gel?
Amy gets
you dropped the ball. She's calling you a Hall of Famer. She's obviously into you when you said she's.
Oh, no. Listen, you haven't been
Paul
around
like
a long time.
I'd like to get into her.
I don't shine shoes no more, first of all. Second of all, she made fun of me a lot. That's when I called her not-so-hot Amy.
But anyway, William Barry writes in about Paul and my argument. He says, the term Paul or Fred wants is co-belligerent. In World War II, after Italy surrendered, they declared war on Germany but did not ally with us. That weird situation is called co-belligerent. So both Florio and the Patriots have declared war on ESPN, but we're not allies.
Okay. That's crap.
I think that's his point.
Oh, I forgot to say.
No one really cares.
Gary wanted me to bring up that, as we had earlier, one of those blog readings was from Scalavino.com. And this is a whole – Gary's been laying the foundation for this for months. To lead up to some of these from Scalavino.com, which some of our listeners have gone to and laughed at. But Twogender screws it up the other day by playing them for Eric. It was supposed to happen on the air.
Right.
Eric hears it.
You all right?
Whoa, choking on those donuts, fat boy, huh?
Might be.
Wow, I got to look at that picture of Amy again. Maybe she's a little hotter than I thought.
Flushed. But so he ruined like 2 months of Gary's work with one. I couldn't help it. I wanted to make him love.
Wow.
Gary was very upset, nearly fired him, and then Twogender cried.
And you ain't lying about 2 months of Gary's work,
not.
Either.
Gary yelled at him, and Twogender cried.
Aww. Right over his head.
That, I know, nobody got
now
that.
I feel bad.
I did.
Why?
I don't like kids crying.
Was it tears, or was it just grease dripping out of his hair that you missed?
This whole blog readings emanated from reading Eric's blog, so he
yes.
went on Patriots.com first, set it up for months, and then he goes.
Twogender blows it.
2 months worth of work there, Andy. You
well,
you
in fairness,
lying.
Now
even our listeners
heard it
can't
yet.
Get a laugh
well,
out of it.
Well, because you blew it now. You blew it for the listeners.
Why?
Because you just mentioned the whole story. Right. It was fine for the listeners until you opened your fat mouth.
It was on the air.
What do you mean?
We just wasn't
played
on the air.
It was on the podcast.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
I thought you just played. No, I thought you just played
no,
in between.
He played it on the podcast.
Yeah. He screwed it up.
Two gender.
My apologies to you,
useless.
Fathead.
Thank you.
All right.
I never come back.
I apologize
come up with
a million times.
Cliche comeback for you, yeah.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Right.
That's webradio@patriots.com.
I could have sworn it wasn't on the air.
Guys. 508-543-7482.
This is when Mike and I just have a conversation by ourselves again.
No, you know what? I'm right. Screw you.
I think Mike might
you guys get us a little quiet over here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, thanks, Bill. You don't talk on Tuesday.
Steve, where were those people from that he yelled
England.
At?
England.
No. That was that mortgage.
Oh,
the mortgage.
Right. Those criminals in the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
No wonder they were jerks.
Stephen Westford writes in, hey, guys, and say it with me, and Derek. Fun game to watch on Sunday. I don't mind that some of these easy wins are now going to be dogfights. They can get pretty exciting. You may have talked about this already. If so, Fred, stop reading now. No, Fred, stop reading. Skip this part. Fred. I read it like he wrote it. A few weeks ago, Andy mentioned that with Harrison playing, Sanders and Merriweather were a little limited in that they couldn't play their more natural positions. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they're better team without Harrison. Do you think Sanders and Merriweather can play more the way they fit naturally? In other words, with more presence and more clearly defined roles.
That is the theory.
That's we
in
came
practice,
to the conclusion of Thursday.
We have to wait and see how it plays out. Because I thought they both sucked on different occasions on Sunday. Mm-hmm. James Sanders missed Donnie Avery and took out Ellis Hobbs, which is clearly not the plan back there deep.
Not what they're looking
Merriweather
for.
Was late to get over on the Delta O'Neal ball. So they're not clicking on all cylinders back there. But in theory, I think they could be decent.
The first quarter and a half was a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
Unmitigated? Always seems like that word goes with disaster.
Yeah,
with
guys getting hurt, and then there's so much chaos back there.
I mean, they gave up a long pass that led to a field goal in the first drive, a long pass for a touchdown in the second drive, a long pass that had him in field goal range in the third drive, then the Rams got a holding penalty, then Seymour came up with a sack, and that pushed him out of field goal range. And but from that point on, the secondary, I thought, improved greatly.
Brian from Baltimore, how do you guys think Bill Belichick would have handled the Vernon Davis situation in San Francisco? I'm thinking nothing like Singletary did. I give him credit for trying to change the attitude of the team, but in the
can't
NFL,
it.
It's never a good idea to publicly call out players like that, and especially during your first game as a coach.
I would rather play with 10 people.
After his
can't
tirade,
win with them.
After
can't
his,
do it. Can't coach them.
After his tirade, the 49ers better start winning, because if not, Singletary is going to lose that locker room. I'm pretty sure Belichick would have handled it in-house, or mostly likely the players would have handled it themselves. For me, it's good to know that no matter how bad this season could get for the Pats, we would never have to hear about any kind of crap like that from players or coaches. I also doubt you would ever see Belichick's news conference on a Coors Light commercial. I give it about a month before we see Singletary on one, which should be pretty funny. Thanks, guys.
It
keep up
be.
The good work. Also, I saw Eric's website, and wow, is he gay. but don't worry, Eric. I mean that in the nicest way possible, because as you probably know, gay also means happy.
I think some of Bill's press conferences would be great on those Coors Light commercials.
Yeah, in a different way. They're not going to be the Denny Green way, but
no.
They could certainly use them if they
want
to.
A lot of humor,
to.
I think.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Singletary.
The Singletary thing, I'm not so sure that it's a bad move, because
cannot coach with him.
I don't know what the other players think. If the other players think he's a jerk, if it's like Plaxico Burress, where all the players come out the next day and said, we were 52 guys plus one, and this needed to be said, this needed to be done, he's not going to lose them. And I get the feeling that they've had issues with Vernon Davis before. Right before the Patriots played him, he had like one catch in a game, a 19-yard screen, and he started yelling, get me the damn ball, and they benched him, and none of the players liked it.
Yeah.
Because he's an I guy,
right,
who happens
I
to
want
stink.
Winners.
Yep. I think the point Andy made earlier about Patrick Willis, Frank Gore.
And I'm sure others.
Throw four or five other key guys they have. I don't know, Manny Lawson or, you know.
Tully Bantakane.
You know, I don't know who they're who they would consider maybe their 10 nucleus guys. But as long as those guys are on board, I don't really think Singletary cares one bit if he loses the rest of the locker room, because
right.
I don't think he plans on having most of those guys around.
I wonder
if he stays.
Vernon Davis is not a leader on that.
You know,
no,
I wonder, though, if Singletary is that type of professionist. like a Ted Williams or a Larry Bird who it came so naturally for and couldn't understand why other players couldn't do the same thing.
Although Bird was a good coach. Williams was a terrible coach.
And Bird was a pretty good coach.
And Mike Singletary's been considered a good coach for
a
while.
I thought he relied a lot on his
Mike Singletary didn't come out of the stands to be the head coach. He's been a coach for a long time.
He stopped doing it because he got too nervous. He had that heart thing at the Eastern Conference Finals when they played the Bulls 1 year. And they lost in seven to one of those Jordan teams. Game six,
he had heart palpitations.
He was so nervous during that game six that he had like a palpitation or some kind of a irregular heartbeat. And he said he knew it wasn't for him.
I guess my point is, though, that great players don't always make great coaches.
They're
such perfectionists.
But he's been a coach.
No, I know, but not a head coach.
No, I know.
It's different regarding
coaching abilities.
It's different. It's different working with a unit.
If he stinks, it's because he's not going to be a good head coach. He can't manage. He can't delegate. But he's already shown the ability to be a football coach, to coach players and positions and be an assistant coach.
In general, the football guys that fit, I totally subscribe to your theory, Fred, about the better the player, almost the worst coach, but it's the time, I think. You know, everybody always says, well, John Elway, maybe he'll get. I don't think those guys are interested in putting in the time it takes to become a great coach. Obviously, Singletary has already done that because being a position coach, he's had to do that.
And the other thing is, it's not fair to compare it to New England, where they've built a championship team over a decade plus here, where they have guys that go back literally 15 years or whatever. In San Francisco, it's new players every year. They've never been able to build anything in recent history. They don't have leaders in the locker room. Of course, it wouldn't happen here.
I could never see Bill doing the press conference part of that.
No.
But I could see him doing the other part of it, but we just didn't know about it.
And it wouldn't get to the breaking point.
I'm not so sure it didn't just happen 2 weeks ago with Lawrence Maroney.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know because, like I said, Bill would never let that be public.
Right.
But he also wouldn't let it get to that true.
He would not let Vernon Davis do what he did the other day.
Sending the guy off the field completely. Right. Not just having him
Bill's
stand on
the sideline.
Disciplined
guy. There's no way he would put up with that nonsense that Vernon did. And Andy brought up a point from earlier in the year when we were doing the preview stuff. He caught one little pass and goes over to the sideline, starts yelling at the coaches to get him the ball. And Bill would not put up with that nonsense.
Am I the only one who also, while watching that, thought of Andre Tippett? I could see Tippett handling. If Tippett had ever gone into coaching, and
I could see him up there
losing it on a guy like that.
I could see that being physical with Tippett.
I could see it being, if Singletary hadn't lost the 150 pounds that made him a middle linebacker.
How do you think that happened? Mm. Oh, never mind.
Are you making an accusation?
No.
Dan Tugender is sticking
He's
up for
really
himself.
Skinny.
He says, I didn't play it on the podcast.
No, you just
I
played it
Mike
for Eric.
Right.
You ruined it, and I'm
you
not.
You played it for Eric, and that ruined
and
it.
And also, he says, Paul must be gay because Amy is smoking.
Okay, so that's my point. In other words, the audience didn't know about it until you opened your mouth.
I don't know. Gary told me to talk about it. It's the only reason I talked
about it. Well, now you both screwed up.
No, we didn't.
You
the
both
point gender screwed up. It was supposed to be unveiled on the air for
Eric to know about it.
It was supposed to embarrass Eric, and we all laughed at Eric on the air.
We could have still laughed at Eric on the air and had fun with it.
The hay is in the barn there and burnt down. It's all ruined thanks to Tugender.
That's why.
Tugender, the flamer, lit the match.
On the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I'm sorry if I'm repeating anything you've already talked about. I haven't listened yet. First of all, I wanted to say, is Eric there?
No. Move on.
All right. Well, it should be passed along to Eric that he did yeoman's work on the playbook the other day by himself. I've only listened to about half. But
I couldn't stand it anymore, but he did a great job.
No. But I don't understand when something like that happens. Rookie's out of town. Why don't one of you go down there?
I was there the day before, that's why. And these other guys are too pompous to do it.
We're busy.
But, I mean, he's by himself. Doesn't
I'm with you, brother.
The whole unit looks terrible.
He's not bi, he's just gay.
This is really hard to believe. But the radio is one of a lot of different things that we have to do during the course of a day.
I know. You've got a lot of writing to do. I get that.
Writing.
Well, put down that secretary with a bad attitude. Send her down.
Oh, Carol?
I guess. I don't know. Man. You always talk about some woman.
That would be interesting. Maybe I
can you
Carol
imagine Carol
Hardy?
Hardy
Eric
you know, like,
Scalino
remember
show.
The old Channel 38 show, Ask the Manager?
Ask the circulation manager? Yeah.
Where's my paper? The postman stole it. Where's my paper? The postman stole it.
Next.
We could have like a weekly interview with the Brockton Postmaster about what the hell's going on with delivery.
Do you remember the show We Don't Knock?
We Don't Knock. I remember the name. I've never seen the show.
People walking through doors?
It's like Dana Hersey being a jackass for half an hour.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to know what you guys thought about Castle because I haven't I mean, obviously you've talked about that already, but what do you consider his best performance so far?
Yes.
Even though the stats don't bear that out?
Yes, I would say yes.
Well, I think they do bear that out if you take away the two picks that, and I don't feel like I'm taking them away out of school here.
Yeah,
one was a guy fell
relaxed.
Down, and the other, at least Moss should be going after the football.
He should have at least not let the other guy catch it. Right.
His receivers let him down. Those guys, the playmakers that are supposed to make plays, hurt him.
Okay.
I thought it was his best game. I did.
Great. Well, it's good. He can keep making incremental progress.
Fewer mistakes on his own in this game.
Yep.
Excellent. And finally, is there any update on – I know you don't have injury updates on Brady, but what is the deal so far right at this moment? Is it that he is going to be delayed months longer because of the infection, or has that
– There is no – No one knows that definitively.
No one knows it all.
The last thing we've heard, actually, there was a rumor out there that somebody said that things are going well for him.
You know, well, if they have to rebuild the ACL, then it would certainly push it back.
We have to wait and see when he actually starts rehab to know how long it's going to be delayed.
Right.
Because
at minimum, it's already delayed
3 weeks.
What's today? Yeah.
28th. This is going on 4 weeks.
Right. 22 days or so.
Because
you start rehab within a day or two after surgery. He had it October 6th, so he's basically 3 weeks delayed.
Right. So unless he has started now and the infection has cleared up, which according to the reports that we've seen is not the case, the one, Fred, I fall back on your sources, said that there was nothing surprising or that they got caught off guard by in the Boston Herald, the Patriots being, on the report last Thursday. And that indicated that he was going to have IV antibiotics for 6 weeks.
Right, like 4.5 weeks left or something.
Right. So I would say it's at least
precautionary.
No, I understand that, but that delays the start of the rehab process. That's all. That's the only thing that came out of this is that I would say you're tacking on at minimum 1 month, probably closer to 2 or 3 months in the recovery period before he actually starts rehabbing.
But even worse, as I said, not worst case scenario, but even the one of the worst football case scenarios, if they have to start over, he could still play next year because they'll be having the surgery December, January to redo the whole ACL, everything. You still have plenty of time to recover and be on the field next summer and be on the field to start the season.
I hope that doesn't happen for obvious reasons, but I really, even for selfish reasons, can you imagine what it's going to be like all
scenario?
Summer?
Brady takes, it's pushed back. He therefore starts the season on the PUP list.
That's what I'm talking about.
So they therefore decide, okay, we're going to give Castle like a 2 or 3 year deal if he is worth doing that for. I mean, do you think they would do that, or do you think they'd say we're going with Kevin O'Connell, or we're getting some
two or three
like
extra years for 6 months?
Six
I don't think that's
I think
a good
they'd go with O'Connell.
Plus, it's not a Patriots decision; it's a Castle
it's his decision.
Yeah.
If he says yes,
that would
or
be
no.
up to
if
Castle.
Anybody in the league says we're going to give you a 5 year deal with $11 million signing bonus.
And
Castle
start
goes,
for more than six
peace
games.
Out, Holmes.
I just can't imagine that Castle would accept any,
if the Patriots offer Castle a 2 or 3 year contract, I'd be worried. Because for top dollar.
The money.
Well,
that would be if they offered him a 2 year Jabbart Gaffney contract, I would
why
say.
Why would he take that?
With
the lack of good quarterback
right
play
now.
In this league, you got to expect some team is going to make him a deal. Not
because
you know,
even if he didn't have
not
full confidence,
a bank breaker, but a good contract,
a starting quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Todd Collins is a $4 million backup.
Yeah.
So someone's going to give him starter quote unquote money, which is millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't have like confidence in himself that he could do it on his own somewhere,
he'd still do it.
You take
still
the money.
Take the money.
Right. You still take the money.
This is it. His career. He's already in 4 years.
And we've already seen if you fall on your face in that scenario, you probably get another backup job somewhere. So you squeak out another couple veteran.
Before you know it,
deals.
You're around for 10 years.
Right. You've had a 10 year career.
He's got his pension,
and you got a couple million
this
in the middle somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, he's just won
Kerry
five
Collins.
Games in the NFL.
Right.
That's an accomplishment
that's
right
like
there.
Scott Mitchell's career.
Right.
Kelly Smith.
Chris from the Bronx, good win this week. I was wondering if you'd comment on parity in the NFL.
Stinks.
Yes, it's great to have surprise wins every week, but I miss having a handful of teams at the top, including the Pats, of course. Watching the Colts last night, I almost felt bad for Peyton Manning.
You're right,
right
there, pal.
There. You need
I think
wrong?
It was that last steak and cheese egg roll that I had.
I know it'll fix that. A donut.
I was looking at one. Is it important to have a handful top-tier teams in the NFL if only for the rest of the country to root against, or is real parity the way to go? If, for example, the Yankees missed the playoffs for several years, well, don't they? Would it be adversely
affect... No, they get there every year and lose in the first round.
Would it adversely affect that Major League Baseball and the fans? I happen to agree with Chris. I think it's good for baseball to have a strong Yankees team.
Absolutely.
I think it's good for football to have a strong Notre Dame team. I think it's good for hockey to have the Canadians be strong.
See, I don't care about the teams. I just think it's good to have good teams.
You need a villain.
Right now, you don't have good teams.
I'm with Andy. I don't think it needs to be anybody.
Tennessee Titans are the king of the... poops.
I think baseball has never been more popular than when they instituted revenue sharing, and I think that's really leveled the playing field. And you haven't seen the most, the highest payroll teams only win.
But don't you think it's good, like, to have a strong Yankees
yes.
team?
Yes. No. Well, no, you just think
I
it's
think
good
it
to
is.
Have. I think it's good to have great teams.
Right.
I think
measuring
the
stick.
The Patriots and Colts have been good for football the last couple years in the AFC because that's the measuring stick. They were talking about that game last night for Tennessee that being this big. Bellwether game, and it wasn't. It was
see,
a 3-3 game.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it's even better for the leagues to have great franchises.
No, I don't.
But Fred,
I don't agree with
isn't
that.
The NFL enjoying some pretty good success over the last five?
Oh yeah,
10 years?
I think you can make an argument for Notre Dame.
Well, the Patriots were the dominant teams. It wasn't the Raiders and the Cowboys and these Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, were good, but
they're always good.
I mean, the Patriots created something. And the NFL rode popularity. The Patriots were a great team. They were a measuring stick.
Every great story needs a protagonist
right.
and antagonist.
The problem is when you have just blah, because then no one cares.
But why does
because you
to
don't
be
know who's good,
protagonist
who's bad.
And antagonist. Why can't it just be the fact that they have?
No,
now,
it doesn't necessarily
I'll
have
you,
to, but I don't think 7-0 Tennessee is getting a lot of people excited.
Because
no,
the league
because
stinks.
They don't have a great team. They, everybody
if 7-0
knows
Tennessee
great.
Had beaten the Patriots and the Colts from the last few years,
right.
people would say, wow.
Or this
that
year.
Colt, that Tennessee team is
awesome.
Or
this maybe. Year, Andy, if they had beaten the Giants and the Eagles
right.
and the Steelers or whatever, they haven't beaten a team with a winning record. And everybody understands that. Everybody recognizes that. No
I
one
just
thinks
think part
great.
Of it for the casual fan is that it's the Titans and nobody knows the Titans. And everybody knows the Colts, and they have the marquee players. That's exactly what it
but
is. When you're marketing toward casual fans, you need big-name players in big cities.
Yeah, well, I couldn't
it's
disagree
true.
With that more.
It's
I think
about the players.
Greatness.
It's about the players.
Absolutely.
I think that you could be everybody's successful. I think you can make an argument for Notre Dame for your theory, Fred, because that's a national college football, yeah. and I think it you are everybody knows Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, when they come to play
but
you.
But in the NFL, NFL fans know all the teams. They don't, you know, casual fans, they know
well,
that
I think
it's
the
not
NFL
just,
is.
It's not just one or two guys.
It's head and shoulders above all the others.
It is.
Yeah.
So you don't need to have that one team.
What? Just propping the league up on a pedestal again.
Well, no, that was one of those things he thought I was going to say. Oh, you're ridiculous, Fred. But of course it's number one.
Quick overrated. Best damn sports show, greatest 50 plays or something in the history of sports. The Michael Jordan, where he goes up with the right against the Lakers.
Yeah,
he could have just laid it in with the right.
Yeah, that is.
Who cares?
That is an overrated play.
It's stupid.
No one was up with him.
Right.
It was all by himself.
If Dikembe Mutombo is there and he does it to avoid a block and lay,
right.
then it's a great play.
Right.
But it was meaningless. Lay it in. That's the problem with this era of player. It's showboating.
And comes up
right.
The side was much
there was
better.
Nothing in the way to stop him from laying it in.
Dr. J one is amazing.
It was Michael Jordan showing off and nothing more than that.
Well, I mean, don't you think he thought someone was going to be there?
No! Then he's blind!
Still a fun play to watch.
Yeah, but it's not one of the 50
it's
greatest plays
fact.
Of miraculous plays in history.
Wow, no. Did you get spirited about that?
That's
one of the greatest.
That's one I've
players.
Always looked at and go, he didn't even need to do that.
Well, I totally
right,
agree.
It doesn't matter if he needed to do it. It's still a great play.
He didn't need
no,
it.
No, it isn't.
It's like when
I
played.
Go in the. I saw Fred do that in our horse game. Where
right.
He went up with one fake
say,
and the other one.
I screwed
Andy. I did that. You
know?
When he beat me in those three sports, horse, basketball,
and I don't play defense either, so he would have needed to do that movement as well.
That's the same.
For those of you listening on the podcast who just hurt their ears from Andy screaming,
sorry.
We want to apologize.
He sounded like me.
Well, Jordan just came on in the background on that TV before the Iron Gym.
To finish up Chris's email, he says, by the way, not sure if you've seen the HBO show The Life and Times of Tim, but Michael Parenti sounds a lot like the main character, especially when he was trying to get himself out of an outrageous situation like the fight challenge from Matt.
When he was backing down, you mean?
I'm going to get my ass kicked.
Meow.
Fred, what's that word?
Meow.
That was good.
Andy in Sioux City. Hey, guys, and Eric, when does Troy Brown come out of retirement to play defensive back? What would the best options be if the Patriots were going to try and bring someone else in at this point? Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Well, Malloy's on a contract.
Malloy's on another team. Now we're just handpicking. Well, I'll take Champ. Oh, no, he's hurt. No. Champ. How about Asante Samuel? We'll take him.
I would rather have Ray Ventrone than Malloy.
Clemens.
But
who else is available?
It would need to be somebody familiar with the defense, right?
Dan Klecko.
And Andy thinks that the Colts are going to kill us 35-14.
It's funny. Fred and I picked the exact same score for the TV show with opposite results.
Opposite teams winning.
What did I pick?
31-21. Yeah. And it's also the score, I believe, of last night's game, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So 31-21 is the score for the week. Just who knows how it's going to work out.
Steven in Portland writes in, calls in. Steven, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm writing right now, blogging while I'm calling you, Fred.
Okay, cool.
You have a blog?
Hey, guys, how's it going today?
Things are good. Although the weather here in New England is terrible.
Have been all talking about how great the Patriots played on Sunday?
Yeah, Fred is just hyped up. Next stop, Tampa Bay, baby.
Hey, what does everybody think of the way Matt Castle handled himself after the two interceptions and leading those two in the quarter?
I think it's exactly what you want to see. I think every Patriot fan has to be encouraged by that performance.
I was looking for a game like this, waiting for him to do something in the fourth quarter. He seemed to do fairly good in the red zone again this week, and that always shows a little bit of encouragement, I think, with a new quarterback.
Well, this was his first real chance in the fourth quarter of a close game, not getting blown out, where he could actually lead a drive that would win the game.
And
so
luckily,
that is encouraging.
Luckily, the Rams were more than happy to play along and just give him the victory.
By rushing.
You're just really pounding that home, aren't you?
Right.
If they played a real team, it might have been a little more difficult.
Patriots didn't do anything.
When they gave him those four extra possessions in the third quarter.
Okay.
Hector Longo Jr. here, Andy Hart.
Yeah, I ended up doing a Mike Parenti thing and was only able to pull off the audio off the internet, but I had to get the Rams broadcast. Man, talk about Homerville.
Oh, is that right?
Who does it? Do you know who the hosts were?
I don't know who it was, but they were talking about Adam Vinatieri, and they were talking about, oh, only if he got traded 8 years ago, we would have won the Super Bowl.
They still haven't gone over that, huh?
No, they haven't gone over it. Talk about denial.
Wow. Good for them.
Besides the fact they were relying on the guy to miss a field goal so they could win.
That's right.
It is Loserville. I told you, they tried to lose Sunday. They've been losers the whole time.
I don't want to take away anything from Adam, but more often than not, in this league, field goals are good.
Yes.
Even the bad kickers make more than they miss.
Yeah, that's true. So, hey, Paul, great analysis on the Patriots today, by the way, with Kevin Falk there. You know, it's dumb of people to keep throwing a linebacker on them, just like you said. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's surprising to me that they do it out in space as often as they do. I mean, it's one thing if he's over the middle and you're in a congested area, but when they get him outside like that, when they spread the five wides and they're constantly putting linebackers on him, they did it in the first half and got away with it because the throw was a little bit off, but... It just surprises me that teams still try to cover him one-on-one on the outside like that with a linebacker, despite, as Andy says, Falk's diminishing skills.
But the problem is, on paper or on video, you look at it and you say, he's not that fast. I should be able to put a linebacker on him who has similar type numbers and similar type speed and cover him, but they never do. He is not running 4.3 40s out there.
He wasn't
he's
wide open.
He's not fast. But he just makes the damn play.
My point is you need a guy with skills. You know,
but I see why people are tempted to do it, because it helps you elsewhere if you don't have to dedicate
a corner.
And you talk yourself into saying, look at him. He's not that tall. He's not that fast. He's not that this. He just makes plays.
You could have had the same coverage, and if you had a safety or an extra defensive back on him on that play, chances are they break it up.
Right.
A linebacker is kind of locked in and not turning around, not having the instincts to know what to do 20 yards downfield. That's what surprised me about the play is they got beat with the same thing in the first half and got away with it, and they chose to cover it the same way, and it cost them the game.
That's right.
All right.
That's going to wrap up the happiest call
the
in the history
I'll
of the show.
All week.
Thanks, Steven. He really likes it.
That's right.
Okay. Todd in Nova Scotia says...
That was him.
That's a recording.
Oh, I thought that was him laughing again.
So did I.
He's a happy little man.
That's right.
Also, let's face it, he's one of my favorite listeners. He actually watched me on Patriots Today.
Todd in Nova Scotia says, am I the only one that isn't thrilled that we barely beat a one-dimensional Steven Jacksonless Rams team in the fourth quarter?
No win's a bad win right now.
It should be easy to get pressure on the passer when you don't have to honor the run. If Jackson played, we would have lost the game. Wow.
I went back and looked, by the way, and he did say that they prepared to have him in there all week.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know how it would have unfolded because, you know, maybe they don't take the same deep shots, so maybe they don't hit them because they are the offense. It's like when Shaq's on the floor, the offense goes through him or whatever, so it's going through Steven Jackson, so it mixes up the deep bump. But I just think when that he's such a key figure on that offense, you have to say they'd be a better team with him out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously.
I felt,
no, I know. I'm just saying that's a legitimate discussion.
I felt they went into that game determined to keep everything in front of them and play cover two and play safe in the secondary and try to help the secondary as much as they could, and they still struggled in that department early.
Didn't work very well.
They still struggled in that department early in the game
without
really having any care at all if the Rams wanted to run the ball. If Steven Jackson's in the lineup, I think that they have a different game plan. I don't think they sit back, and then I wonder how much damage they really could have done in the passing game if they were focusing on Jackson.
It sounds to me that Jackson is more valuable to the Rams than the two starting running backs, Tom Brady and Rodney Harrison, is to the Patriots.
Yep.
I wouldn't say the Brady part, but everything else. I mean, it's
great logic.
Steven Jackson is far and away.
The Patriots started Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
And Steven Jackson is far better than all of those running backs that missed the game combined.
Sure.
Sure.
Let's see. Scott says, if Wilfork were to be suspended, would he have a chance to appeal in order to avoid sitting out against the Colts? Also, how do you see this year's rookie class fitting in throughout the rest of the year and in future years, especially at linebacker and defensive back?
Paul, they're asking for a Paul story right
and
there.
You guys do a great job, and Perenni has been a great addition.
I agree.
I'm not so sure.
Scott is from Georgia.
230, by the way.
I think if they decide that Wilfork is suspended, that he should do it right away and get it out of the way. Because, like I said, the next five games are all tough.
If it's one of those that he's getting unilaterally suspended by the commissioner, I don't really see where your grounds to appeal that would be.
Yeah, because you would appeal it to the commissioner. He's the
right
one giving
now,
it to you.
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works, but then I don't think his chances would
seems
be
like
that
a losing
good
battle.
Maybe he can give him that little
but
speech.
But I sort of agree with Fred, too. Wouldn't you rather miss the Colts game than the Bills game the following
absolutely
week? And then you have a streak of three straight in a division. You have the Bills, Miami, and the Jets, or the Bills, the Jets,
and then
and Miami.
The Steelers are after that, and you're going to need as much power
games
as you can against the Steelers. The Colts are a smaller team.
The three games you need are the AFC East games, because right now the Jets, as bad as the Jets are and as bad as they've looked, they're only a game behind.
We got to get going. I forgot all about that. Gary didn't remind me. All
right. Over. John Rook, come on in. Mike Perenni needs you.
We're gonna take off. Perenni and Mike Rook will handle it, whatever.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach, drilling for oil all day.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.